This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hi there. Hi.
La, 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 la.
Love to start just commenting by looking at Buzz.
Doesn't he look gorgeous?
Who apparently is dressed for his 11th grade class photo today.
Yes, I am.
I like your pin,
how's
too.
What does
your pin say?
NGA, for National Geophysical or Geo.
Oh, you gave your speech today.
Yes, that was today.
Good for you.
We'll find out about that in just a moment.
Good for you.
But first, to stop all of the junior news people out there, we are aware that Alex Trebek has had a heart attack.
A mild heart attack.
He is going to be fine.
He's going to be A-okay. It's not fatal.
Sure.
It's the breaking news that we already know about.
That's right, Trebek. So you're going to make a full recovery.
Suck it, Trebek.
Suck it, Trebek. Keep low cholesterol, Trebek.
Alex Trebek suffers heart attack.
Yee.
67-year-old host had a minor heart attack. Resting comfortably, we'll be back for Jeopardy next year.
He don't look 67, even with his gray hair.
So we know it. Don't call, please.
Hi, everyone. This is Alex Trebek. Listening to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara is really putting yourself in jeopardy. So I never do it.
Right. How about Joel A. Spivak?
M47 at WRC. Joel A. Spivak speaking. Alex Trebek is our guest, the host of Jeopardy and a couple of other
Classic Concentration on NBC.
I'm sorry, I've never seen that one, Alex. But you're in my house every night with Jeopardy.
Good.
Michael's in his car. Michael, you're on WRC with Alex Trebek.
Hi, good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Michael.
I'm going to have to forgive you if my car phone breaks up here. I'm driving along 270, but I want to tell you I'm a big fan of the show.
Good.
And I want to say congratulations to you and your wife.
Thank you.
On the little one. And I want to tell you also, I really enjoyed the interview with Don and Mike this morning. Great. Fabulous.
Mm-hmm. And that's why you're calling. Michael?
Hello.
Goodbye. Charles in Arlington, you're on WRC.
Hi, Joel. I wanted to ask Alex, first I love the show. And I've been waiting a while. I wanted to ask Alex, how much does it cost to produce one episode of Jeopardy?
All right, good question. Hang up and listen. How much does it cost to put one of those things on the air? I'm not sure. Fred and Alexandria, you're on WRC with Alex.
Hello?
Go ahead, Fred.
Hello?
Yeah, hi, Fred. Hello. Fred is having a little problem there, which I hope he'll straighten out.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
The Morning Zoo.
WABA.
File that under we weren't tired of entertaining yet. We wanted to entertain some more.
That's right.
So we had Alex Trebek on our show that morning, on our old Morning Zoo show.
Such idiots.
Then he was going to go be on the talk show, on the talk station, WRC.
Serious. Joel A. Spivak, a guy that we used to make fun of because he was this curmudgeon-y old guy that was on the radio, and we had fun making fun of him.
So we told our audience, today when you're on with this guy on AM 980, all of our listeners are going to call you. So we go back to the office, and as it turns out, I pick up a phone and I dial and I get through. Right. And then Mike picks up a phone and he dials and he gets through. And then Carl Fippinger picks up a phone and he dials and he gets through.
We all got through, and we got through in order.
One right after the
other. They took us sequentially. It was amazing. And Carl, that we always make fun of Carl because he said, I'm going to have to forgive you, because he was nervous because we were in the room with him and two of us were in one room and one of us was in another. We didn't have enough phones to do it.
It was you and me together, and here was the game plan. The game plan was, okay, Danger Boy, that was his name at the time, you be the first one to break the ice.
You do the standard, hey, heard you on Don and Mike, because that'll get our show mentioned.
Then we didn't know what order the other ones were going to be taken, and they told him he was going to be the first on. Mm-hmm. Mike was going to do that long,
old man,
drawn out,
having trouble processing his thoughts.
Right.
I played the role I played best,
Hey!
Radio turned up too loud.
Uh-huh. Hello, Joe!
Dumb guy.
And by the time we got to Don, we had tears streaming down our face. It was so funny that on this show with Alex Trebek, that we, our calls had come in three in a row. It was so damn funny. And then we went out for Chinese food.
And now he's had a heart attack.
Yeah. But he'll
be okay.
Sure.
And it gives us a chance to play one more Jeopardy tape before we start the show.
You might understand he's a little tense.
It's a great one.
So keep watching Jeopardy 24 hours a day and call this number. You dumb son of a bitch. You don't watch it 24 hours a day. Hi, I'm Alex Trebek. And
son of a bitch. Huh? Wait a minute. Run that by me again. I don't understand it. I didn't pause. All right, let's start cutting. There's a daily cash prize of $1,000 and dollars. Ah, fuck. Oh, son of a bitch. Somebody gonna tell me why? Here's a little hint.
Flips him off.
Pick up, take 20, one.
$25,000.
It's all on the same tape. How are they going to lose it? $25,000, $50,000, $25,000, $50,000, $100,000, dollars. Well, I'm not quite ready, so I'm going to do it now. Dollars. It's for you. No shit. Call now and play Phone Jeopardy. Fuck you. Fuck you.
Wow.
You. You. And them, too.
But he lives.
Yeah. He lives, thank God.
He lives, and when we go Jeopardy, we go deep.
The Don and Mike Show.
This is Art Fleming asking, Don Geronimo, is that a made-up name or not?
Yes.
And Mike O'Mara, the name is spelled O-M-E-A-R-A, Mike O'Mara.
No.
They're a couple of losers.
Wrong.
Listen to them anyway.
Thank you, Art.
Art Fleming.
Who he?
He's the original host of Jeopardy.
Right.
I'm talking about my mama.
We were not talking about your mama.
What is that?
Who he?
That's Art Fleming.
I'm talking about my mama.
There he is again.
Hi, this is Art Fleming, and I never listen to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Who he? I'm talking about my mama.
All right, no doubt.
Well, what have we here?
What have we here?
But what about STDs?
I feel like doing what we came up here to do.
What's that?
Orgy! Have an orgy! 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 Orgy!
Orgy, yeah.
I'm not happy.
Boring.
Oh, stop it, Larry. Here's the phone number, everybody.
Let's pick the phone, and let's call that hotline today.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Hi, everyone. This is Alex Trebek. Listening to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara is really putting yourself in jeopardy. So I never do it.
Why do you favor rape?
Alex.
Why men's rooms? Boring.
Oh, hi there, Buzz.
I'm the oldest man in the world.
Hi. And hi, listeners.
Being careful, it's very important to me because I have genital herpes.
And I don't.
Here's Big Ed.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
Thank you, Eddie, and hi, everybody.
Well, hi, everybody.
Hi there, welcome back.
Welcome back to the show.
Don and Mike Show, and it's Tuesday.
Yeah, baby.
And our phone number, same as it was yesterday, 877-365-3636. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Wow.
Don and Mike, I'll take celebrities having heart attacks for $1,000, please.
Now, you see, if you had another celebrity that had had that same malfunction today, that would be something, because you said, you know, celebrities having heart attacks, but
I'll
it's just Alex Trebek. Yeah, it's just Alex
Trebek. Okay.
That's why we did the whole preemptive strike.
So you wouldn't call with this. You see, we told you not to. We still have the Greg Kinn band, though.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I just want to, I don't want to tell a joke. I just want to say something referring to yesterday's show.
Go ahead. Now, here's my point here. You have something you want to say that you think is funny?
Yeah.
Yes, why did you feel the need to set it up?
Oh, Mike, it's like someone who's thinking about killing someone.
If you're thinking about it, if it's a crime of passion, you don't, say, hey, I'm really thinking about pulling
this
trigger.
This is not a crime of passion.
Right.
This is a premeditated act on this cat's behalf. He knows he could get the penalty for calling with a joke. He knows that.
I love the end of this song.
Ow. And he wants to try to circumvent the system.
Mm-hmm. You never miss it. You never miss it, baby.
I'm tighter than a nun.
That is tight.
Remember that. And a nun is tight. My God. I've been with a couple of tight nuns.
I'm tighter than a crab's ass. And that's watertight.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, boy.
No jokes allowed, boy.
Right.
Boring.
Yeah. Yes, very boring.
Sure, dear boy. Hello, Don.
That's
and
John.
Mike.
I guess see my buddy John. That's his favorite.
Don and Mike
Hello,
Show.
John.
Hello there. Hi. Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello.
Who is this?
Who is this?
This is Anal and my friend Itch. Hi there. What?
How's Alex doing? All right. Hello.
What?
Wow. Yeah.
Did he hang up after that?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Yo, where's Jesus? We sure do call on him a lot.
He'll be here in a few days.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. I hope you didn't miss his birthday.
Don and Mike?
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, I actually had a question for Buzz.
I'll do my best. Go ahead.
Buzz, with this writer's strike, would it be advantageous for someone like myself to use this opportunity to try to get his screenplay in there? I'm not part of the...
Of the guild? You want to be a scab? Is
you know
that what
I call
be?
You, my friend, a scab? I peel you. Get out of here.
It's not something you want to be, son.
Buzz is a member of the guild. Not necessarily the writer's guild. He's a member of the lollipop guild.
That's right.
Look for the union label.
Lick me.
Buzz is the president of the group. Again, I always get it mixed up, but I know it spells NAMBLA. That's why he's wearing the coat and tie today.
That's right.
He went to speak to like-minded citizens.
The Man Boy Love Association.
Mm-hmm. That's what
National Association of Men.
North American
Man Boy Love Association.
You don't want to confuse it with SAMBLA.
SAMBLA.
Which is the South American Man Boy Love.
Hey, but that's nice. It's, SAMBLA.
Yeah, it almost makes it more appealing,
like
doesn't it?
Wow.
Awful hot in Brazil.
Brazil.
Don and Mike Show. Hi.
Oh, yeah, Don's and Mike's number one fan.
They call me Cuban Pete. I'm the man, whatever it is.
Hi there, this is the Don and Mike Show. Hi.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Well, we start the call with random shows.
That's right.
There, hello.
It gets us going.
You are how? Don, what? Am I. Mike is
hey,
he.
Guys.
There, hello.
Air, you're on.
Hey, sorry about that. Hey, I was just calling because I thought maybe you guys could help me out with a little something.
No, not today.
Probably not.
Not today.
Not with that tone.
Oh, yeah. We're going to take some calls.
That was pure trouble, that last call.
Mm-hmm. Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, can I talk to Don and Mike?
Your request has been granted. You got two more. Three wishes. Go ahead.
Three wishes.
Now you've thrown him.
How are things at the NASA testing facility?
How may we serve you?
Serve me.
Are you are you eating something?
Yes.
That's rude.
Sorry.
Hello, and Buzz is wearing a tie today, for God's sakes. Show some respect, goddammit.
If anybody can say, you're being rude, it's the guy with the tie on.
That's right.
Private Pyle, what is your major malfunction before we move on?
He's listening to the radio.
Oh, and you had the chance for three wishes.
Yep.
You had the chance.
And he blew it.
That's all you had to say. I wish I had a brain.
Oh, my God, another one.
I wish I had a watermelon. I wish I had a bigger watermelon. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Is this another guy eating?
What a day for calls.
Yellow.
Hello.
Yeah, what can we do for you?
Howdy.
Well, I was just thinking that Weird Al Yankovic has that song, I Lost on Jeopardy.
I Lost on Jeopardy. Wonderful song.
I was thinking.
I didn't know if you had it.
Yeah, I do. But I like guys like you that pile on, because I guess I just didn't think of every possible one. I could have also pulled out the tapes of the guy pretending to be Sean Connery on
that would have been over.
Suck it, Trebek.
This wasn't enough for you?
Maybe if he had actually, if he hadn't survived the heart attack, maybe that would have been an idea.
It wasn't enough for you that I offered up the Alex Trebek tapes and, on the spur of the moment, Jeopardy by the Greg Kinn Band, timed it out perfectly with the tapes of the other guy, Art Fleming, even timed it out to the riff where they stopped the song, started the song again, and still, all you can say is, what about the Weird Al Yankovic song?
He's gone.
He left also.
There is no pleasing you people.
There isn't, not this time of year. It's holidays.
I pull all of you towards my ample breast, and I say to all of you,
happy holidays.
Suckle. Suckle at my ample bosom, yet some of you bite my nipple.
Where are David Bowie and Bing Crosby when you need them?
That call had one of the danger zone things, too, as he started out with, you know, I was thinking.
Yep.
Anytime they say that, we really should just, you know, take
peace
a
peace on earth.
Listeners, I know you're going through chronic colic, but I'm telling you that I am here and my bosom is ready. I am ready to mother you to the next step.
That's not going to work with them. They're all out there awaiting the bird flu. It's all they're doing. It's all they're thinking about now. Bird flu.
When did that start up again?
Well, today I heard
it. Did you just make it up? Or
no, I heard it. Heard it on the news.
Hello, Don and Mike.
On the recording of Buzz News that I listened to in my car.
Hello, what's happening?
Is this Don and Mike? Hello.
Is there a problem?
Yeah, you never shut up.
Jesus. Let's try this one. Hi, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I got you both beat. I am tighter than a gnat's ass in vinegar.
What? Okay. A gnat's ass in vinegar?
Yes, thank you.
Why would a gnat's ass be tighter in vinegar than a gnat's ass would be outside of vinegar?
Does that make it pucker up?
You don't want vinegar in there.
Oh, yeah. Pickle.
A gnat.
Did you say it's pickled?
Well, yeah, it pickles up.
It pickles up.
You've actually witnessed this?
I am it.
You what?
I am it.
He's a gnat.
The gnat with my ass.
Thank you for explaining it, Buzz.
He was never going to do it.
Do you regret helping him? Just at that moment, you helped him. Did you regret it in the slightest?
I really didn't think I was helping him as much as I was us.
You know, maybe it's my fault. Let's start over. Yeah. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
Let me just say this. How about that Michael Vick?
Yeah.
That's going to get the phones going, my friend.
Boy, oh boy. Everybody wants to talk about it.
Hello there.
Going away, is he?
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Right. Good guess.
I was just wondering if you could play the Mac beat for me so I could drop a flow.
What beat?
The Mac beat, the one from the Rihanna song.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do we have that lying around?
So you could drop a flow?
Yeah, I'm going to rip it for you guys right now.
A little freestyle.
Normally when someone says drop a flow, it usually refers to...
Get the orange.
Go number two.
That time.
You're rough.
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
No.
Thought that was regarding the thank God.
I mean, I'm no good, really. I really suck at flowing, but I'm going to give it a shot because I like that Mac beat. That Mac beat is hard.
Mike's talking about it, the periods.
Yes, flow.
Flow.
Flow,
All right, we got it for you.
All right, you going to draw. Get ready to drop your flow.
Entertain us.
Ready to freestyle?
Yeah, I think so.
Here we go.
Get it.
I'm the next step, and I'm here to say I love my fruity pebbles in a major way. Tell Alex you bet, get out that bed and get back. I want to watch Jeopardy tonight. Yeah. Hard.
Oh, you got plenty more freestyling to go.
What did you think about that?
I thought that sucked more than your mother, and God knows that she can suck the chrome off Satan's tailpipes.
Linda Lavin, ladies and gentlemen. Great beat to drop a flow to. And we're not talking about the waitress in the diner either.
No.
And I got something, I don't know what made me think of this, but a new sign of the idiot. I know I'm late to the party on this, but it's for guys that drive pickup trucks or SUVs. Back where you have the hitch.
Yeah.
They got a thing that looks like it's made out of metal, looks to be like pewter.
Okay.
And it is a scrot and a sack.
I've seen it.
I've seen them like four or five times.
They're nasty looking.
I've seen them four or five times and not really. You know, it's one of those things you go by in traffic and you go,
right.
Does that idiot like have his nuts on the back of his car?
As somebody that years and years and years ago pioneered the art of anatomy, hanging anatomy out the window
the
car door. You remember the leg?
Trailblazer. Yeah.
You remember the leg?
Yeah.
John, Don, you remember we got that. Now, the leg might have been sent to us, but I used the leg.
You ordered it like Carrot Top, Mike.
Everywhere I went, and I got great response on the leg. I'm not pleased with the sack.
You know,
I don't like the scrot on the trailer.
And it's not
hitch.
The same thing, because what you had was the gag gift. It was.
You could put it in the trunk of your car. You could put, really, it worked best if it was in the
grill.
If it was, no, not the grill.
No, coming out the
that
door.
That was another appendage.
Coming out the door, because it was half a leg.
And it had a little rope attached to it, and you could put just the thin part of the leg in your door, and it would look literally like somebody had gotten their leg trapped in the door.
It had half of a pant leg and a shoe.
That's
right.
And when you would drive away, it would look like you had shut your leg in the door.
The thing you're talking about is very obviously, you know, just this little novelty gag. And, it, you know, it's not
a trailer hitch, I guess, for guys to show everyone that, hey, guess what?
I got them.
They got brass balls.
Mine are,
yeah,
mine are pewter.
I got them.
It only is on the mail trucks, though.
Well, to me, it is just the sign either of a small brain or a small penis.
Take me out to the ball game.
Really? I mean, for God's sakes, I know that everyone that feels that way cannot afford to go buy a red Corvette.
Right.
You know,
right.
But for God's sakes, if you've got a small penis and you're going through some sort of crisis, there must be something better you can do as a man.
There is.
Than buying a sports car or buying brass balls to hang off the edge of your truck.
You can do more to entertain. You can do more to entertain.
It's a new Corvette!
You can do it with your license plates. You can do it with novelty items. I'll tell you what isn't funny. The baseball Corvette breaking through the glass.
American sports car with a standard 350 horsepower V8 engine.
That's a gag.
Plus the roof package.
This is funny.
Six-speed manual transmission, polished aluminum wheels, 12-disc CD change.
Speaking of Nambla.
Handling package.
Yes.
And Johnny Olsen.
And the 1SV.
You're going to bite your tongue, not Johnny Olsen. Rod Roddy.
Oh, Rod Roddy, I'm sorry.
Johnny Olsen
well,
is
same difference.
As pure as the driven snow.
Right. So says you. So says you.
This is Jeopardy.
Anyway, I've seen those things, those trailer hitches, whatever they are, and they're just, I guess it's not for guys that are going through midlife crises. It's just guys that just.
They think it'll be funny, and it's just, it's not. I felt the exact same way you did when I saw it.
I passed a guy today on Rockville Pike, and I saw it up close. I was behind him at a stoplight. And I pulled up next to him at the light and looked at him, and he looked at me, and there was nothing said. He just had to look like,
yeah. Yeah, I know I'm pretty funny.
You That's saw right. it. That's
yeah,
right.
I got it there. He's the kind of guy that if you cut him off in traffic, he'd bring the headlights right up into your rearview mirror. Mm-hmm. You know, he'd come up right about an inch from your bumper. He's that kind of guy.
I tell you what is funny is when people have a trailer hitch and they put a propeller in it.
That's ancient, though.
Get out of
that
here.
That is ridiculous. It's a million. Okay, Skipper.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Doesn't need one.
Alan Hale checking in.
Hi there, Don and Mike Show.
I laugh.
Play Misty for me.
Now, you're supposed to be a lady, a high-strung lady that says that, not a guy with a deep voice.
And he's gone.
That's sure. The trend.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hi there.
Or is he just outside?
Hello. Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey.
Wanted to commend you for such a fantastic job cutting the Jeopardy tapes with the Greg Kinsaw.
And I also wanted to thank you for your ample supplement from your ample bosom. Number six fan here.
Thank you very much. thank you for your patronizing.
There you go.
I mean that in the way like you're patronizing.
Got to run,
like
number six fan.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I wanted to, did you catch how the Falcons owner, I can't remember his name, said that comment about Michael Vick on Monday Night Football?
Mike, did you catch that comment that he made about him?
So far, we don't have the comment. We don't have the name of the owner.
Right.
There's just not enough information for this call to continue.
Did you hear that, though?
What was the comment made?
He said something about Michael Vick was going to get fat by eating fried chicken in jail and wasn't going to be able
no
to
No way. No not. Way. This get would have been here. All over the news if that happened.
Get out of here.
Can I give this caller a clue to see if he can come up with the owner's name? His name is Arthur Blank.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was a pretty good clue.
No helping some people.
What is the guy's name? What is the owner's name?
Arthur Blank.
Arthur Blank.
That's why he just had a true funny.
Okay. So, yeah, I get it now.
See, like Rob said, Arthur Blank.
Blank.
And that's the guy's name. But
his
you
name
fell
is
for
Blank.
It. Too.
I fell for it because I forgot. I forgot.
That is funnier than a propeller in a
chair. That is much funnier. I was just recovering from that other one.
That's why he can recover from every attempt on his life. They're always shooting blanks.
You know the cat thing, like the half a cat in your car? I've seen those too. Mm-hmm. Like the rear end of a cat, but not Garfield, but a real cat.
I don't mind that. I'm used to the stupid thing you mentioned with the baseball or the golf ball or a football or a soccer ball coming through.
And of course it reminds me of the greatest story I've ever told on this show. My claim to fame.
Oh, the dildo.
The bulldog.
Yeah. That's
the bulldog wedged by a producer and an assistant producer in the front grill of my car so that I had basically a penis in the grill of my car driving up to Columbia from Arlington, Virginia.
It wasn't
a good one-hour drive.
Drove 35 miles.
In traffic, in heavy traffic, with everybody beeping at me, waving at me, saying, "Hey, Mike, there's Mike O'Mara. Look at that, Mike O'Mara." And I'm like, yeah, you might know me. I'm somewhat of a famous radio personality. And I went to the place where I was doing a commercial for some furniture store, and I pulled into the recording studio, and there was a print shop next door that had a clear window, and even the people in the print shop turned and looked when I got out of my car, and I said, "I am amazingly hot." And it was not until I had finished cutting the commercial, going out to my car, where I looked at it, and there wedged, jammed, was this 17-inch dildo.
I mean, you could not miss it.
That was shoved right at the point. It could not have been placed in a more perfect location.
Here's why it was perfect. As Mike drove out of the parking lot, the entire radio station was pressed against the windows, all of us going, "This is seriously the funniest thing we've ever seen."
It's the greatest practical joke that's ever been played on me.
Thinking, how far do you think you'll get as far as the Wendy's? Do you think you'll get as far as the Exxon?
And none of you knew where I was going. I mean, you figured I was going home and maybe going to stop for lunch or something. Right. No, I had an appointment, and so I was a flat hour on the Beltway, on the on Route 29 North, going up to Columbia, Maryland, and I was cruising the whole time.
This was not a small dildo.
No,
it was called the Bulldog.
It was the Bulldog. It was
for
flesh.
Good reason.
It was flesh colored.
Yeah,
it was anatomically correct. It had veins.
It's like if Dolph Lundgren took his pants off.
It was truly amazing. And I'm talking about people beeping their horn at me, and I just, because I was such an egomaniacal moron, I really thought that people, man, I said, I cannot believe this. I've gotten spotted before, and I think back in the day, you and I might have had a couple of TV commercials that had run recently, so I'd gotten a few people that would say, "Hey, aren't you that guy?" or a little beep on the highway because people knew our schedule, but this was 3, 4, 5, 6, almost 7 by the time I got to Columbia, Maryland, including the people in the print shop that looked at me, and little did I realize, there it was. All flesh-colored, sitting there. And then the people in the print shop got the added bonus of seeing me two-handed try to yank this thing, which had been so beautifully wedged. I swear to God, at first I thought they'd glued it or taped it, because I had to put one foot up on the fender of the car
to pull it out,
and I had to pull it out with both
over
hands.
And over again.
And I was yanking at it and yanking at it until it popped out. you know, making me go backwards. I didn't fall. That would have been, boy, that would have been perfect for the people in the print shop. And I remember standing up and looking at them and taking the thing after I kind of stumbled backwards, and I waggled it. And it waggled like this because it was made out of that latex.
What kind of car were you driving then?
I had an Acura, one of the very first Acuras. That they ever made, and it had the
nice car.
The car hasn't changed really that much in design over the years, and it's the, you know, almost kind of looks like the ones they have now. Mm-hmm. And it had a little bitty grill, and I think with three grill rails in it.
Yep.
And so you just they put it between the
it
two.
It was put at such a point that this thing was
Frank Murphy and Diana Sillman.
You know what you want to do is think of Leo at the end of Titanic. He's I'm the king of the world. Mm-hmm. When he's hanging over the boat. That's what this thing is like, hanging from the front of Mike's car, except from where he's sitting, he can't see it.
And I was
while you're driving, you can't see
it. And I believe I waited until the next day, did I not?
Yes.
I waited till the next day. I waited till the next morning to come into work, and Frank, I was ready. As much as it was a great practical joke, Frank was so smug about it that I was ready to knock him out on his ass.
Now this
I was
I
so
remember.
Mad at the way because he was doing
this
little.
This I do remember.
Good morning, Mr. Beard.
This is what I do remember.
Hello, Mr. Beard.
You know how when he would get worked up, you got mad at him because he laughed in that Riddler laugh,
mm-hmm.
and he wasn't doing it as a goof. It was like real life.
That's how he laughed.
Right.
Wearing his checkered. Button down, short sleeve shirt buttoned all the way up.
And here's the deal. You pull a great. And this is a lesson for all practical joke people.
One of the best ever.
When you do it, just, you know, absorb it. Just acknowledge it, embrace it. Don't pull that crap afterwards like, what? What are you talking about? Because that made me mad. I wasn't going to be mad because I laughed also when I was thinking about it. I really laughed because it was, when you're made the fool. In such a 100% complete way, mm-hmm. you have to laugh at yourself. But Frank, I came in and Frank was sitting there, and I got there into the back producer's room at like 5 o'clock, 5:15 in the morning, and Frank's like, "What? Why are you looking at me like that?" I said, "Oh, stop it!"
And then finally,
stop it. Then he breaks out laughing.
And finally, and he just sat there with that Riddler laugh.
And when I told him, I think it might have been one of those deals where I said, I'll tell you the whole thing. I'm not going to tell the story five times.
Right.
Because it was, you know, you guys had all hoped that maybe I'd travel 15 minutes with it.
Like I said,
it ended up being an hour.
I didn't think you'd get to the gas station down by that bakery or whatever, by that restaurant.
No, you figured somebody, some good Samaritan, would come down
Someone's
and go,
gonna
you
say,
have
hey.
A dildo in the front grill of your car.
Nobody did.
Please remove that.
Boingy, boingy, boingy.
You got to stand. He drove 35 miles.
Uh-huh. It was all the way up from Arlington, Virginia to Columbia, Maryland.
And this is the breeze. You got to know, before cell phones,
mm-hmm.
before anything like that, he was really driving around thinking, hey, everybody's giving me the high five because I'm on the morning zoo.
And it was a payback from Diana because hadn't we had like a birthday present for her or some sort of gift? It was either birthday, Christmas, where we bought her. I bought her the bulldog from the pleasure chest.
And
so she had held on to this thing, kept it at the office, and then jammed it into the car with Frank, of course. Mm-hmm. And hilarity ensued after that one.
Oh, my God.
So the one guy, but, you know, I was such an idiot. I got thumbs up from people.
Boingy, boingy.
I never got a thumbs up. People would, you know, give me a little wave. Occasionally I go, hey, you know, good show. But this was beep, beep. Guy's looking at me with the thumbs up, kind of that look. Hey, ass.
Big penis in your grill.
There's a penis in the grill of your car.
Rare end.
Have a nice day, moron.
Hello there, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike. This is Jerry from San Ramon, California.
Yes, Jerry. Sunnier times.
My brother.
Sunnier days.
Sunnier days.
My brother-in-law gave me a set of those the balls, and they're called trucker's balls. But my wife had surgery, so she was going to be out of order for a while. So I got them as a joke, but I put them on my truck, and I went into like a Best Buy, and I came out, and there was no less than like 20 people standing around my truck. And
you must have felt proud. Now
I had to get rid of them.
You mentioned that your wife was in the hospital, and you got the brass balls thing for your truck. What does your wife being in the hospital have to do with that, friend?
No, they're blue. They're rubber. Those balls are rubber. They're made out of rubber. They're not made out of metal.
The ones you had.
The one that I saw today was made like out of pewter. It was It was stainless steel, for lack of a better word.
But I bet all those people in the parking lot were really smart if 20 of them stood around and stared at it.
Oh, no. I mean, they are very big, and they are very conspicuous. And
so you had big blue balls on the back of your truck. What did you say to the people that came up to you in the parking lot?
Yeah, the throng.
Nothing. They basically just, you know, were wondering if, you know, why I had the stone said do something like that.
And why did you have to remove them from your car eventually?
I just didn't like the attention that it drew.
How has your life been since then?
Like yours, Robbie.
That good.
Oh, my.
You, it's That's crazy. Good.
It's always crazy talking to a riverboat gambler like you, a guy who lives like on the edge,
sure.
Life on the edge. Thanks for calling, Sundance.
Send them into us. We'll have somebody on the show that will use them.
Tell Butch Cassidy we said hello.
Because
people
you,
are just standing around the parking lot going, this is a crazy guy we got to deal with. This guy's got blue balls hanging.
You know what real comedy is? You know what real comedy is? Put him on a Prius.
See, then now it's
put them on a Prius. Put them on
laughing.
A hybrid.
Now I'm laughing.
If you put it on a hybrid, it'll scrape.
Well, that's the whole idea.
Hello, Sparks. Don and Mike show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
You'd have to put like a child size on a Prius.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Like the mold of a little 7 or 8 year old.
Low to the ground.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I was calling about the Arthur Blank thing.
The owner of the Atlanta Falcons?
Yeah, he did make those comments. It wasn't like, I wasn't mean it like a racist thing. He said like he'd get, if he doesn't eat fried chicken and French fries and like greasy food. But he didn't say it because they were talking about it on the Jim Rome show today.
Well, great. And you sound like the average caller to the Jim Rome show. So you know, that says a whole lot to me.
Well, I think it would have made a bigger splash at this point. If it's brand new, it might continue to make it. Seems to me.
I'm pretty sure I had the game on in the background tonight when he was sitting up there flapping his gums and I didn't catch the inference, and if that's the case.
Well, the fried chicken will do it. I mean, Fuzzy Zeller with Tiger Woods at the Masters, I mean, that did it then. So we'll have to wait and see what happens.
I don't think so.
Don't remember hearing it?
No.
Or the way he said it was not a...
Yeah.
And
listen, it is possible to say, if you're thinking about food that a guy gets in prison, it's possible to say, I hope he doesn't get fat on, you know, fried chicken and French fries. I mean, I didn't hear it. I'm not paranoid.
If it was said like just like that, right, then it wouldn't be a problem.
Plus, the guy's the owner of the goddamn football team.
Now, if you say it like this, he said, well, I hope he doesn't get fat eating fried chicken and French fries.
That's bad.
Then you might be in trouble.
Let me tell you something, Michael Wilbon. Boy, I hope he doesn't have fried chicken. I hope he's out of watermelon.
Really, what we're doing is kind of a variation on Jerry Lee.
I'm Arthur Blank. How you doing? You like my Home Depots?
Is Arthur Blank, I mean, is it an Atlanta franchise because he's an Atlanta native?
That's correct.
All right. You got to be careful then. You never know. You know what, Don? I would like to point out that Georgia is now the only state where dogfighting is legal.
But I would like to point out to you that while we're doing this wonderful mimicry, Arthur Blank, the good old boy, having mint juleps with his big white seersucker suit, you should really know that our stereotype is 100% off base.
You
and
mean
this
hello?
Is why you must consider, even if he said fried chicken, it was not inferred that way.
I understand. So you're saying that perhaps we're doing the wrong voice for Arthur Blank, and now we're doing
are.
The correct one.
Let me just say, Tony and Mike and Jaws, this is awful for the Atlanta Falcons.
I certainly hope that he doesn't put on a few pounds by indulging in fried foods.
But either way, I know that some young man whose testicles have not dropped will call the Jim Rome show, and then we'll later call the Don and Mike show and drive that show to a grinding halt while they have to explain what's going on.
Making the proverbial mountain out of a molehill.
And the entire time, no one bothers to say,
Happy f***ing Hanukkah, the Don and Mike show.
Exactly.
Last day, Mr. Blank.
Because I'm Arthur Blank.
And I wish the Falcons a formidable next season. Lord knows that this season is already gone.
That poor bastard.
Bad luck.
What am I saying? Poor bastard. He's the richest man in the world. He invented Home Depot. He owns a football team, please.
Yeah, but it's been a bad year for him. I mean, Home Depot's getting knocked off by Lowe's now.
Still, Arthur Blank is not going to be.
He's not going to be in the poorhouse.
Right. And isn't that kind of like, isn't Lowe's versus Home Depot kind of like the old Target versus Walmart thing?
Yeah, I think they go back and forth.
Would you say
Lowe's will knock off Home Depot for a while, then Home Depot makes some changes, and they'll knock off Lowe's.
Isn't Home Depot going in a way like the number one overall?
No, Lowe's is kicking
winner?
Home Depot's ass. Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Lowe's has been kicking their ass for a long time.
Wow.
Yeah, they're losing market share to Lowe's, and that's what's been happening lately. At least that's what my sources on the market tell me.
That's not good news.
No. But occasionally I found my own personal experience of going to Home Depot and they will say, you might want to try Lowe's. Mm-hmm. And I've been at Lowe's where they have said, you might want to try Home Depot. So I think, all things considered, it's somewhat of a push.
It's a wash.
It's a wash.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, what's happening?
How you doing? You know, those pair of scrotums I've seen hanging, I've seen a pair that actually light up when you put on brakes.
now we're talking something I might be interested
in. Just a sign of the idiot, isn't it? Why not just paint it on the side of your car?
Yeah, well, you know who you're talking to.
The whole world.
If they light up, give me a break. Now we got something great.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show. What's happening?
What's going on, Don and Mike? My radio business.
Hi there.
All right. Hey, hopefully Michael Vick won't be Michelle Vick when he gets out in 2 years. They won't have to worry about him playing no football no more.
Not a chance.
He'll be like that guy I saw when I was coming back from Poughkeepsie, New York, and I think it might have been Greenhaven. Does that sound like a prison to you up in New York, where there was a guy that rode the bus from Poughkeepsie to the prison, and I was on the way back to Hartford, Connecticut, and he had like a stocking cap. But it was tied with a bow at the front, and his jeans, he had his jeans, they were regular guy's jeans, but he had them kind of cinched off down at the bottom, and he was wearing lipstick and nail polish. And I was trying not to stare at this guy the whole time, and he was obviously going for a visit.
Where'd you see this guy?
This is on the way to a prison. I used to go from Marist College, where I'm unhappy to say Bill O'Reilly graduated. And I got out
boring.
Of there.
Boring.
I got out of there before they turned me into someone that knows everything about everything.
I'm sorry, I thought we had a Bill O'Reilly tape there. We've replaced that with boring. Your story is not boring, Mike. That used to say gay sex, whoa.
Gay sex, whoa.
There's that.
Now here's the deal.
Gay sex, whoa.
There you go.
So the bus, I would take the bus home, and the bus would stop by this amazing-looking prison. I mean, it was one of those deals where it was almost like the Shawshank Redemption. You're driving up the driveway, and you see these massive, huge, just concrete walls.
It was like the Blues Brothers?
And it was very scary.
Like
it was, and they'd pull over, and some people would get on, some people would get off. Mm-hmm. And most of the time there were guards that would get on this bus.
All I
but
know
this
is
the first time you saw a legitimate, like, boy girlfriend going to the prison, and it was stop staring.
Even back then, you were a very happening guy.
Why?
Because you were riding a bus to go to college.
I didn't have any money.
You were riding a bus that happened to stop in front of the prison on your way to college.
I said I didn't have any money. If I remember, it was not cheap. It was not cheap to ride the bus from Poughkeepsie to Hartford, Connecticut. It was very expensive.
Where else are you going to see a very first man dressed as a woman coming out of a prison, Mike?
Fascinating. I'll tell you, it made an impression on me. Made me want to think, I don't want to go there. I do not want to go there at all.
Lifelong impression on you.
But, I didn't make many bus trips before I started boosting cars. So I'd have wheels. I just boost a car in Poughkeepsie, drop it off in Hartford. It's only about a 2.5-hour drive. No problem at all. Stop by the prison, pick up some friends. We'd be all set.
Boost a car.
Yeah, boost a car.
Could you in your wildest dreams?
Boost a car?
Could you? I could tell you, I definitely could not. All I know is what I've
seen.
I don't think
I'd have the balls to do it.
All I know is what I've seen on TV, mm-hmm. where somehow they bust off some plastic around the steering wheel.
I did stuff like high school stuff where you'd, there'd be a guy's car in the Friendly's parking lot.
Two wires, and you go, and get it started.
We did that. I mean, but it was people's, we would usually steal keys off a table and then take the guy's
car.
That's
easy, that's not stealing, Mike.
Do you know what we used to do?
Seriously, I would not find him guilty of that, but that's not stealing. That's a prank.
My buddy Joey had a Toyota, one of the very first Toyota pickup trucks used. He had gotten it used. It was one of the real originals. And the neat thing about it is the window wiper fluid had the thing that came out of the hood, and he could turn it around so that it would face outwards.
Oh,
and he
yes.
turned both of them around, and we would wait for the, I think it was the Black Dog Tavern or the Pumpernickel Pub in my hometown to close, and we'd wait till closing time, and he would sit there, and it shot such a thin stream that no one could see it coming off of his car, and we'd just sit there laughing our asses off because it would travel so far. The stream was incredible, and you'd see people just go, like they get it right in the eye, and we just have a great old time. Oh, yes. As much fun as putting a dildo in your car. Lots of fun. In the land of the idiot. I'm just filled with nostalgia today. The holidays.
I'm just picturing you shirtless, like in overalls.
It was pretty damn. It was close. I mean, Tobacco Valley, there was not a lot going on in my hometown. I mean, when you think that's how we amused myself. Got brought down to the police station for sneezing in Robin Riley's hair one night at Friendly's. I did the fake sneeze.
Really? Did Barney Fife lock you up for that one?
No, but I remember that there were. What happened was Robin Riley was one of these. Every high school had him. It wasn't like the town pump or anything, but it was the girl that was kind of obnoxious, and everybody kind of poked fun at her. And I did a fake sneeze, and that was, you know, I was with the seniors, and I was like a sophomore or a junior, and I went by her hair, and I went like that, and she went, "Oh, what's that?" And they all laughed. Well, I went home, and after that, they got in a van and pulled up along what they thought was Robin's car. She was driving, slid open the van door, and two of them mooned her.
Oh,
what they didn't realize is that her her mother was riding in the passenger side.
Mom.
And to make matters even better, her grandmother was in the back seat. So the phone rang, and my father picks up the phone, and he goes, "Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, I'll send him right down. You have to go down to the police station."
That's something your dad probably loved, right? That's something your dad loves saying to his son, because he knows you're not in dangerous trouble.
I don't know why he reacted, but I remember there was a non-reaction. He
you
went,
know why?
They want you to. No, it's like, you know what? I'll tell you exactly what it was. My mom was not in the house, and it was a Saturday afternoon, and I think there was something on TV or something, and my dad was just like, you know, like you or I would have handled it. It's like, "They want you to go down to the police station." You know, and that was it. And I went down there. I remember seeing like six guys at this table, and they were all there with their dads.
Uh-huh.
And all I was sitting there by myself. And the police, like sergeant at the end of the table, said, "Mr. O'Mara, are you the sneezer?" And that was it. Nothing ever came of it. Good. But it was, it was what they had done afterwards by mooning Robin with her mother and grandmother in the car.
I was very lucky with the cops. I never got into trouble, ran with the wrong crowd. But on more than one occasion, I was driving the car without a license.
Right.
One time, and actually it was like 15, coming back from my job, and had that like the fake driver's license, the one that they give you in driver's ed, but I hadn't completed it yet.
Right.
And I ended up rolling the car in like a ditch. And the cops were all around me, and they're like, "Where's your license?" And I said, it must have flown out of my wallet." And amazingly, they bought it. Amazingly, they bought it.
Sure.
But I really believe. Hold on. Give me a second. Now you've really jogged the memory.
It's fun. And you know what? Hey, I found this out from my 30th year reunion. You get together with people from your past, they'll bring up stuff that you don't even remember.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Just give me
it's
a moment. To call JPS if he's around, because he can verify this story.
He's not good at verifying, Don.
Well, this one I think he may.
You think he'll be able to verify this one?
I think so. But when he and I went for a joyride, when I didn't have a license, and he wasn't old enough to drive, obviously, either. He's younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's Jimmy. Yeah. Call me back, or I'll try and call you back.
Yeah, I'll call him later.
Please begin recording at the tone.
Let's get our Christ on. Let's kick it Jesus style. Y'all want to walk with the ultimate rebel, right? The ultimate CEO?
Yeah.
Biggest celebrity of them all? Who's down with G-O-D?
All right, talk to you later, homo.
Bye, Jimmy.
Bye-bye.
You know, right. It's amazing how if you get with a bunch of different people, you'll remember stuff that you you had buried. And usually the stuff that other people bring up to you, if you haven't seen them in a while, say 25 years, they'll bring up stuff that you've repressed because it was too painful.
I'm pretty sure if my brother ever calls back during the show today, if anyone jogs his memory when he calls, I'm sure I will have forgotten. What I remember was taking Fran's van, my mother's van. My brother and I drove over the state line from Wisconsin to Illinois. Dude, we lived on the state line.
Right.
And as soon as we crossed the state line, like three cops pulled us over because it was obvious that it was like a 13-year-old kid driving the car. And I'm not really sure. We didn't get busted.
That's amazing though, to be that little. And
we didn't get in trouble, but I mean, we got in trouble, but we didn't get in trouble.
Did they let you drive back home?
That's where I'm going to need Jimmy to help.
When it's that far, it's tough to remember. I remember that my buddy Joey, the same one that I mentioned before, I am in no way advocating this.
Sure you are, Mike.
I'm really not.
As I am.
We had a main drag that was just a 2-lane road that went through a part of town, and we'd race on it. He had his father's Delta 88, his Oldsmobile, and I have my father's satellite, Plymouth satellite.
Wow. That must have been one hell of a race.
I was a middle-class kid, okay?
One hell of a race.
I was a middle-class. Hey, they had V8s.
Some guy could have run and beat those cars running in his track shoes.
A satellite at the time was, I mean, you saw those, I think, in certain NASCAR races. You would say, and a Delta 88 had this big, I think he had a 350 cubic inch engine in it. Wow. So he'd usually beat me because I didn't have the V8 that was as big.
Delta's a Dodge, right?
Delta is an Oldsmobile.
Old's
Delta 88.
Sorry, but you're right.
And,
gotcha.
And it was a big boat that he had. And I had the Plymouth Satellite Sebring. One in a series of Plymouths that my father bought.
Plymouth is made by Dodge, right?
Yeah, Chrysler Corporation. Right. Yeah, the Chrysler makes Dodge and Plymouth. And so we were racing. We're coming down a back road. And all I remember is one of the few times that I got the edge on Joey. And I remember coming down to this T intersection, taking a hard left turn with the satellite and getting about 300 yards in front of him and looking in my rearview mirror and seeing him going at speed backwards through the T intersection and through a split rail fence.
Wow.
And being such a wonderful friend that I didn't go back to check on him.
Kept driving.
No, I kept driving. I didn't want to go back there. I didn't want to find out what was going on there. But he had gone into a 360-degree skid when he got to the stop sign.
You know, now thinking about cars, now I'm remembering maybe the proudest my father ever was and the car that set us apart, where both my brother and I were like, ugh. He was so goddamn proud. He bought an AMC Matador.
I remember this.
It was the Barcelona edition.
Nice. That they'd always give it names when they'd like they tweak up the trim on it a little bit.
The car, I swear to Christ, was puke green, pea soup puke green, and all of the accessories were bright orange. And my father walked around this car. I remember the night he brought it home.
A Matador.
He must have stood outside for 3 hours, walking around, looking at it, just like, and he was so proud.
Sure.
I have a Matador.
I have a Matador.
I have a Matador. I have a Matador.
An AMC, that was the period of AMC where the Plymouths and AMC, American Motors Corporation, were competing to see what dog cars they could produce for everybody.
And I forget, what was the name of the one that they had in Wayne's World?
Pacer?
Right.
Yeah, the AMC,
Pacer, which my family came dangerously close to buying. I think every American family did.
My dad traded in his Matador for the Pacer.
You got a Pacer?
Yeah, I was not allowed to drive it, but he got one, yeah.
And remember, at the time, they did such a marketing campaign on it that everybody thought the Pacer was kind of space-age.
Car of the future.
Nicer than the Gremlin.
Yeah,
the Gremlin predated the AMC Pacer. Oh God!
Both horrible.
Plymouths and American
Gremlin.
Motors.
The Gremlin kind of looked like the Matador, didn't it?
Yes, the Gremlin. The Gremlin. No. The Gremlin looked like the Pacer. The Gremlin looked like the Pacer.
Although, what's the order of the cars?
The Matador looked more like the K car. Yeah.
No, the Matador.
The Matador was kind of a square car.
No, the Matador that my dad had was. It was more.
It was
triangle.
A sedan, wasn't it?
No, it was a station wagon. It had a hatchback.
Oh, a Matador station wagon.
Hatchback, yeah.
It's better.
A Matador.
Oh, and also besides the olive puke green and the orange, it had the fake wood on the side of it.
Nice. That was very big back then.
It looked like the Brady Bunch kitchen.
Do you remember all the cars you've owned?
Oh, God.
Like, yes. That you owned, like, through your formative years?
Sure do.
Yeah, I remember that. It was the good old days.
Buzz?
Yes.
Do you remember all the horses you owned when you were young?
Not all of them. It's been so long ago.
What was the first car you ever owned?
A Ford Fairlane, a 1962 Sky Mist Blue Ford Fairlane.
The first one. What was it like when it rolled off the assembly line?
You know, he's like everybody else in the United States. The first one was a Model T. Uh-huh. The black Model T that all of America owned back when Henry Ford began to mass produce, the pioneer of the assembly line.
All I remember is the heater didn't work very well.
But weren't you able, with your very first car, weren't you able to heat yourself on the steam?
Yeah, well, sometimes you could hold your hands over the radiator, sure.
No, the steam engine. The steam engine. The steam engine. That's what I was going for.
How you doing in that tie today, Buzz?
I'm fine, thank you.
It is so weird to look over there and see you wearing a button-down white shirt and your standard Joe business tie.
He dresses up nice, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think I do.
I'd like to see this more often.
I think we all should dress like this.
Maybe you will.
Maybe not me.
You know, it adds
maybe
a bit
you
of,
guys.
It adds a bit of professionalism.
I think so, too.
I'm going to believe his made-up news tonight.
We got a break. There's a radio station that I got some friends up at the beach.
Right.
This little pissant station, 92-something. It's a local mom-and-pop news talk station. I got some buddies that work there when we go to the beach on vacation. I run into this radio station because I like the vibe. I like it smells like radio stations used to smell.
Yep.
I can't identify it, but like smell of old newspaper and just, you know,
electronics.
And everything else. But they have the most bass-ackwards rule that everyone there, including DJs, must wear shirt and tie at all times, even on the weekends, and no clip-on ties.
Right.
They have to wear ties?
To be professional.
I've been on a Saturday with this guy, and I don't want to say his name. Well, first name is David. He's been on the air. This was like maybe this past summer was the last time I was up there.
Mm-hmm.
And it kills him. He has to say to me, go in the other room. Because first off, there's not a chance that he could let his boss know that that I'm in there.
Mm-hmm.
And second, I look at this guy. It's Saturday. We're the only two guys in the radio station.
Mm-hmm.
Totally empty. I'm dressed like I'm dressed right now. Whatever, T-shirt, whatever.
Right.
He's dressed like Buzz.
He's wearing a tie.
On Saturday.
Saturday.
And they got big signs everywhere. Dress like a pro. Talk like a pro. Mm-hmm. Act like a pro.
How about that?
What a load.
What a load of crap.
What a load of total BS.
Wow.
You got to wear a tie.
Dress like a pro. Act like a pro.
In the year 2007.
My God. That's like something a radio station would do back in the dark ages. Yeah. They stopped doing that in the 70s.
The guy told me that the guy that runs the place, the morning guy, is the guy that makes spot checks.
Sure.
That he's one of these guys. He lives close enough to the station.
Surprise.
He's like all powerful in his little domain.
Yeah. Well, he'll roll out of bed on Saturday and have to go do a remote from the local,
hardware store.
Pizza place. Mm-hmm. And then he'll go and have lunch. And he'll just roll by the station on Saturday night and make sure the weekend guy. Now, even the guy who is just running the board. The guy that's running, like, the Rush Limbaugh show.
And are they
show?
Wearing ties like disc jockeys do?
Yes.
Like guys that really, like you would see in a movie theater? Kids that just shouldn't have ties on to start with?
They have, because the rule is shirt and tie.
Right.
So, literally, some guys have, like, Hawaiian shirts with Rodney Dangerfield ties to try to make the point.
Look nice. Like a pro, act like a pro. Way to go, boys. At the beach, no less.
Yeah. Well, the demo on that station is Funeral Home.
Right.
It's the station that runs Rush Limbaugh and Dr. Laura, and every hour of programming, seriously, is brought to you by somebody's funeral home. When I go up there, I laugh my ass off.
Well, if they go to a funeral, they have the tie on already.
That's right. I love it because it's old-time radio, and when I go up there and see my buddy on a weekend, he'll say to me, listen, if anybody shows up, seriously, you got to go out back.
Oh, so they don't like visitors either?
No visitors.
Unless you're wearing a tie.
Even then.
Unless you're wearing a tie, mister.
Imagine that.
What is that in your footlocker?
It's a good rule.
Oh my God. Yes. Well, from now on, Buzz.
All right.
And Buzz, who did you give your speech to today?
To the Combined Federal Campaign, which is like a united way for federal employees. And I spoke at the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. How did it go?
I thought it went okay. I wasn't booed out of there. I thought I had passed security until I got there. And then it was like, who are you? So I had to go through a lot of security. Clearing that took a lot longer than I expected.
You mean like they didn't know you were Buzz Burbank from the Don and Mike Show?
Apparently not.
When you go through security, do you say Buzz or do you say?
Well, no, you have to give your real name. I say Michael Elston. Right. And they because I submitted all that stuff in advance, you know, your social security and all that, so they can run a security check on you.
Since you were in that forum where you get to look out into an audience, did you make any significant eye contact while you were up on the podium?
I think I did.
Good. Good for you. You pick one out in the third row?
Oh, a couple.
Somebody who was looking at your little technocrat speech lovingly.
There he is. I've been waiting all afternoon. Normally, we have to listen to all these government agency wonks, but that man's a newsman.
So what kind of response did you get from the government employees, Buzz?
A very warm response. They were very nice. I got a nice round of welcoming applause. And
How was the applause at the end? That's the one you worry about.
It was equally nice.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
It was very nice.
And did you do snappy one-liners? Did you have any patter, or did you just pretty much?
A little bit, but we really weren't there to be funny, and that's why they chose me. so, you know, stuff along those lines.
Well, what was your opener? What was the icebreaker? You had to have an icebreaker.
Something like, thank you for the introduction. I couldn't have done it better if I'd written it myself. Come to think of it, I did write it myself, and that was the best I could do.
And that...
That's super.
And then the crickets rubbed their legs together, and I continued.
You know what you might want to try? I don't know what stand-up comedian I saw do this, but this might have worked at this particular venue. I think Don and I might have even gone to the show together. You get up and you clear your throat, and then maybe you light a cigarette as you're looking out on the crowd. Uh-huh. And then you wait, you pause, you look around the audience, dramatic pause. So everybody's like, hey, why isn't he talking?
Long pause.
And then you look out to the audience and you say, so this chick was at my end.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No, this wouldn't have been.
That always remember Dice.
Yeah,
wouldn't have been the venue.
That's the hardest I laughed in the whole concert is when he did that. Uh-huh. I thought that was hysterically funny.
Oh, and it is, but this wasn't the place.
For it wasn't.
No,
all right,
no.
Okay. You didn't throw any. I'm over here now.
No, it wasn't that kind of a thing. No, I was basically there to congratulate them on the great work that they've done.
Have you ever thought about
them to do more?
Have you ever thought about standing up there and just once again dramatic pause and go, okay. Who's horny?
Again, probably not the right place for that.
I'm Buzz Burbank. Hickory dickory dock. This chick was my...
How did they react to the...
I dropped my... and kicked her off at the next block.
Oh! How did they react to the sledge-o-matic?
Yes. No, I didn't bring the hammer this time.
Yes, everybody in the first two rows wearing raincoats.
I get Gallagher jokes. All right, so Buzz, you did... this was a good thing. This was a charitable thing you did today.
Well, what was the last sentence? Give us the last sentence.
Let go of me.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays. Probably, I think, is where I ended.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what it sounded like.
Yeah. Did it have a question mark on it like yours just did?
No, it did not.
Did it feel weird using the word Christ as in Christmas?
No, it's the name of an actual day on the calendar, so I thought it was okay.
But you don't believe in the day.
Look at this. You know, when you join in, look at that guy over there. He's just sitting there. I mean, I swear to God, it's like a British invasion. It's like we're all shooting arrows at you.
I don't persecute your silly beliefs, so leave mine alone.
Our silly beliefs.
Our silly beliefs, a little thing called the Bible.
It's crazy, full of jokes.
A little book.
It's a good story.
A little book from long ago. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Well, you look good.
Thank you. I feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, we want to thank Buzz Burbank.
Yes.
You were there.
Buzz is on 107.6 FM.
The Blasphemer.
You know, you might want to steal from another one of my favorite movies.
What's that?
You know, it takes a lot of courage to get up here and do something you know people will make fun of.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
You're wonderful.
Did that? Were you identified as your public persona, or were you there as yourself?
I was there as Radio's Buzz Burbank.
Did they mention the Don and Mike Show?
They did.
Here we go. Yeah. Now we're listening. Come on.
Well, that's why they were excited to have me.
Of course. What did they say about us, Buzz?
Well, they said they'd listened to the show. Many of them came up to me and said they'd been listening for years, back since the WAVA days, and you still listen today.
Tell us more about us.
I like hearing about that.
There's really not a lot more to say. It was just more of that. People, one after another, saying, been listening for a long time, love the show.
Were there any babes?
Oh, yeah, of course there were.
Several. Like dressed in business attire?
Yeah, but, you know, hot business attire.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Like he's enthused.
Like a sport jacket with no blouse?
Exactly. It was a lot of that.
Like that. You know, I love that look, like where they wear the Armani suit.
I should say a blazer, not a sport jacket.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, though. Like when they wear the suit jacket with nothing on underneath, except maybe like a little necklace.
Mm-hmm. That's so slutty, though. That's so slutty in the workplace.
Yeah, but it's fine.
I know, but it's...
Right. Well, you could wear what? Would it be less slutty if they wore like a little camisole underneath it?
Slutty, too.
How about a bra, like a black bra?
Hey, listen, I got no problem with women who like dressing like that. Uh-huh. Just know that that's what I think. I just think when you dress like that, all I think is boobs.
Any fat chicks, Buzz?
I'm sure there were one or two. And fat guys as well.
When chicks dress...
How's your weight?
When chicks...
Wow.
Where'd
that wasn't
from?
Even directed at you. I'm higher than ever. Big and fat.
Wow, they're coming fast and furious from the other side today. Never mind.
Did any men approach you? Because you are beloved by both men and women.
Homosexual men. Yeah.
Gay men. Yeah. I meant gay men.
Not that I know of.
Did any women, though, come up to you with the, hi, Buzz?
There were women, and they were very, very friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say that.
Cool.
Anyone ask about how fat I was?
Look at him. Not this time.
I've been grazed.
Calm down, Spanky.
That's all I'm saying.
Am I the only guy? Yeah. Am I the only guy? Am I the only guy? Am I the only one that thinks we got no chance of running the clock today because we haven't played any commercials?
Oh, my God.
We got a little verbose there, didn't
we? Yeah, we did.
Am I the only one that thinks we're screwed?
I don't even have an opinion.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
I'm talking about my mama.
WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
We're the Led Zeppelin, and we have reunited and stuff. Led Zeppelin. And we're playing our instruments. We have reunited. It is lots of fun for everyone. We're Led Zeppelin, yeah. Ba-ba-da, we're reunited again. And we have reunited and everybody's happy. We're Led Zeppelin, yeah.
The Don and Mike Show.
Clean on the outside, but filthy and diseased on the inside. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right, right. Buzz?
Yes.
There he is.
I'm the oldest man in the world.
Hi.
Buzz, in all seriousness, that was a nice thing you did today. And on behalf of whoever, we thank you.
Well, you're very welcome.
And we hope that you had a good time and that you spread the good word.
Yes.
And
the message of God.
I did. I think we did some good today.
Anyway, I did want to ask you, in the middle of all of that, you had mentioned that there was a problem with security when you arrived there. Yeah. Does it involve a cavity search? What did they do?
No, my only complaint is the frisking didn't last long enough.
You're still on the list, right?
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
You're still on the no-fly list.
Uh-huh. No, actually, I'm not, but there was some kind of
snafu. You are.
A snafu, as they say in the government.
Tell the truth. You were about, like, 5 minutes from Guantanamo. I mean, you were
today
that close.
Yeah.
Mr. No-fly list. Are you kidding me?
So do they have the big guys with guns and stuff at this thing and all that?
Oh, my gosh, yeah, they have guns.
Tight as Tupperware security?
Oh, yeah, there are Marines and uniforms and rifles and machine guns.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's serious stuff.
Serious people here?
Some of them very serious. Some of them just like you and me.
They serve any booze?
Not at this event, no.
Oh.
But they did give me a commemorative shot glass, so I'm appreciative of that. It's not like they're against booze.
I see. Interesting.
How'd you get invited to that gig?
Like I said, I know someone who works there. And they were looking for someone for this particular event, for this occasion.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to stop the show. I felt that we had kind of walked all over what
you thought we'd poo-pooed it a little bit. Is that what it was?
No, it was a big deal. Buzz is excited. No. Look how excited. He's still got his goddamn tie on. You know what I mean?
It was a big deal for him to go down and speak to this the group of...
whoever it was.
The CIA or whatever.
The meaningless...
The shoe phone people.
The shoe phone.
Actually,
oh, that's right, the spies.
If it weren't for these people, you wouldn't have GPS in your cars. These are the people who sort of made GPS possible for us.
Really?
That's true.
I had no idea.
If it weren't for these people, I wouldn't have been able to find this place today.
So they're the ones that shoot the satellites up into the air?
Exactly.
Do they shoot, like, other stuff up into the air?
Mostly satellites, so they can take pictures of the planet Earth and map it in detail.
Didn't you feel the urge at any time? Because I know you. You're a guy that...
A prankster?
No. All about your privacy and all about, you know, Big Brother not watching. Didn't you feel torn at some point saying, I'm glad to be in front of all you people who have made it possible for someone to go on Google Earth and see me in my backyard with my shirt off doing curls like Lester Burnham.
I sort of like it when they watch.
That's what you think.
No,
Mr. Smarty Pants.
These are good people, good Americans, good hardworking people, and any evil that takes place is not their doing, it's the doing of the people they work for.
He'll be giving a nice little speech, Mr. Smarty Man.
And then Buzz will throw the asparagus against the wall.
Because he's the king.
So the very end, I mean the very, very end of that
movie. Of American
movie.
Beauty.
Just, I forgot, I do not like the very, very end. I don't like it after Lester Burnham gets shot in the head, and then they do the replay where everybody hears the gunshot. I don't like that ending at all. I don't like the fact that
it's been so long. Doesn't it end with like a shot of Annette Bening's car and it's pouring rain?
She's sobbing.
A fade out on him as his blood is like going all over the place.
Yeah, you see him on the table, and then you see the weird kid next door who comes over and stares at him as he's dead. You know, that shows you that he's fascinated with death and he's a weird kid. Then they go into this whole thing where they do the replay of hearing the gunshot. And what is that? And they have the little peanut butter cup girl that I will always identify her as. And they have the couple, they hear the gunshot. And then you see Annette Bening go up into his closet and she grabs his clothes and she breaks down and goes, oh. And then you see the gay father, the Marine, the tough guy, coming back in with the gun,
right,
and the gun empty on his wall. Mm-hmm. So it's just a very depressing ending to the movie.
Oh no, not really.
Well, I loved American Beauty. But don't you think American Beauty? I know the whole premise of the movie is that Lester Berman says today I'm going to die, but I just you wish that he would win. I wish he didn't get shot.
The movie starts out, as I recall, it's that like scene from the clouds when you're looking down, like almost like a Google Earth.
Yeah, it's the story of the last day of his life.
Where he says, my name is Lester Burnham. This is the last day. See, I know it's going to be the last day. God, what a great movie.
It is a great movie.
Ordinary guy with nothing to lose.
That's it. And he sits there. And when he sees her and the king come through the drive-thru, that's a classic scene.
Is that Mr. Smiley's?
Mr. Smiley. I have a Smiley burger, Smiley fries, and an orange soda.
And I love it when he turns it around on his boss. Well, you know what? I may just say that you came on to me, Fred.
Not to mention his wife. I say Kevin Spacey should make more movies.
He's great.
You don't see enough of him.
He was at Mike. He's in Fred Claus.
Is he really?
And he's good in Fred Claus.
I gotta go see. I'll take the girls to see Fred Claus. Can I take the girls to Fred Claus? It's a really wink, wink. Okay, all right. Good.
No, I'm just doing my spastic Vince Vaughn impression.
Oh, that's Vince Vaughn.
He does that a lot.
Is that his character that does this? Because I've never been particularly aware of Vince Vaughn spazzing like that.
Vince Vaughn in real life does this a lot. He also does it a lot in the movies.
an eye tick.
Really?
Yeah, your girls would love seeing this
movie. Oh, good. Okay. I don't think they've seen it yet.
Can he do like rapid alternating winks? Is that what he does in the movie?
Know. He's just got the one where he's like, you know, Santa Claus, my brother, right? Right. Right. Yeah. And it looks like the nervous
twitching.
Twitch, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I like me to Vince Vaughn too. I'll take the girls to see that.
Is the Kevin Spacey character like Lester Burnham in Fred Claus?
Exactly.
I thought so.
And Santa Claus ends up being like the guy next door with the Nazi plates.
With the plates?
Yeah.
Go to the North Pole and open Santa's curio cabinet.
Santa Claus, Paul Giamatti, wants Kevin Spacey just like in the movie American Beauty.
And it's so taboo because not only is he Santa Claus, but it's also incest.
Yes. It's terrible.
It's really wrong.
Especially when he sees Santa Claus working out through his upstairs window.
Warn your daughters about that before the movie.
Santa Claus's son has a collection of videotapes and sells marijuana out of his house and
Klaus
has frozen urine in his refrigerator.
To fool Santa when Santa wants to drug test him.
What's the kid's name in American Beauty? It's Ricky something. Ricky, and I forgot what his
last
name is.
His character name or his actor name?
His character name, Ricky. Because after the dad kicks his ass.
Ricky.
Oh, Ricky. I'm sorry, Ricky. You make me hit you, son. You make me hit you because I'm gay. Because I'm gay and I want to be a tough Marine, but I'm really gay.
Now I'm going to drive you to school. Yeah, we can talk about gays.
Meanwhile, your mom's so traumatized, she sits at the dining room table all day staring at the wall.
Now, is that the same cat that's in that movie Breach? The guy that is the dad in American Beauty?
Yeah, Breach, you mean the story of the FBI spy.
I'm telling you, that's a movie if you're in. Does Blockbuster exist anymore?
Barely.
Yeah, wherever you get your videos.
God, it's horrible that we don't know the actor's name, too, because he's been in a million movies. He's a fabulous actor, and he's great in Breach, and I don't think Breach was a very big success.
Isn't it Chris Cooper?
That's Chris Cooper.
Yep. Anyway, rent it. He's good in that. Mike, good news for you.
Yes.
Good news for me. The regular season is over.
I'm waiting to hear the results.
Yeah, the Don and Mike Show Damn Dummy League 2007. Here we go. Week number 14. Robain, 96. John, 88.
Ooh, that was a close one.
Buzz, 104. Bart, 100.
Wow, that's close.
Mike, 115.
Oh, baby.
That's the Patriots, man. Tom Brady, right?
Tom Brady, once again.
Joe, 71.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt the Pollock, 93. Your charming and delightful me, 72.
Not one of your best weeks.
Nah.
I made a little pickup of Ernest Graham from your Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I believe that going into the postseason with my other running back, Marion Barber, I believe I got my running back set, which I waited all season for.
I got dicked this week by Terrell Owens and by Adrian Peterson. But I'm telling you, the lineup that I have now that it's down to the final four,
yes,
it's mine. The only thing
you mean you think the Super Bowl is yours?
The only fly in the ointment is the New England Patriots.
I happen to have Tom Brady and also
and the
New England and
defense.
The Patriots defense.
Yeah, so you are the prohibitive favorite.
I've got. You know, the thing is, I'm deep. That's the thing. As we go in, I am deep. I have two great quarterbacks. I have two great tight ends.
I have three.
Two pretty good running backs.
I have three great quarterbacks. I have three great running backs. I have two great wide receivers, but yet I don't think it's going
to
be enough.
Well, wide receiver, and I found this to be the case in our fantasy league, wide receiver is rolling the dice every week. It's a pure crapshoot, no matter how talented. I've had Chant Johnson all year, and I've had maybe one good week out of it.
This is the first week, I think, I've had T.O. all year in this league. This is the first week he's not had a TD pass.
Really? Yes, T.O.'s been pretty consistent. Chad Johnson has not, but I've got, when I say I'm deep at quarterback, I've got the two best quarterbacks in football in both conferences right now. I've got Tony Romo, and I've got Tom Brady. And, you know, it's frustrating because I just don't know. No,
okay.
I'll be playing Tom Brady.
Tex, here's your final record.
Okay.
10-4.
God, what a fantasy season.
Second best record in the league would be Joe, 9-5.
Congratulations, Mr. Artigier.
And a tie for the third best record, 8-6. That would be myself and Matt the Pollock. So, in the playoffs.
Do I get a bye?
No, Mike.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
This weekend, it is Mike versus Matt the Pollock.
I'm going to mop the floor with him.
And me versus Joe Artigier.
It's gonna be an interesting game.
Sure.
Joe's got Peyton Manning, so he's got a good team.
It looks like you and I are gonna meet in the Super Bowl.
My team is so Packer heavy. Thank God they're good this year. I got Brett Favre. I got Ryan Grant, the running back. I've got Jennings, the wide receiver. I've got the Packers defense. I mean, my season now lies on the Green Bay Packers. How great that is!
And can I say magnanimously,
to finally have them be in a position to make something happen positive.
May I say to every other team in our fantasy league this year that did not make the playoffs, nice effort. You all made a nice effort this year, and better luck next year.
Mike, let's say hi to the losers.
Yes, let's go over the losing teams this year.
That would be, let me see.
Rob just gives me one of these. Rob gives me the hands together and gives me a little thing.
Let's see. Buzz was 7-7.
Uh-huh.
That's not bad. John was 6-8.
Not bad.
Rob, you were 5-9.
That's right, and I had LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, everybody would have thought LT would have a good year.
And Bardio was 3-11.
Wow.
And all I hear from my kid constantly is he hates Eli Manning.
Yeah.
He's positive that that's the reason.
He's right.
The sole reason mm-hmm. that he is 3-11 is Eli Manning.
I think Eli Manning has had another sort of spazzy year.
You know who had a really strong finish was Matt DePaul. He had 5 straight wins. He started horribly.
Hope terribly. He enjoys his 5 straight wins when I wipe the floor with him in the playoffs.
He's got a goddamn good lineup. He's got that quarterback from Cleveland. He's got Braylon Edwards from Cleveland. He's got a lot of guys that you don't know their names, but every week they score 20 goddamn points.
All right, I have a big dilemma this week in fantasy football, and I'm going to ask you. Because,
is it about QB?
No, it's not about QB.
Okay, what is it?
I don't think there's ever – you can't – I have to start Tom Brady every week. I have no choice. I have no, because even when Tony Romo has a good week, it's not as good a week as Tom Brady has. My question, once again, is at tight end. I am very curious as to whether I go with Tony Gonzalez – or whether I go with Jason Witten.
You would be an idiot to go with Tony Gonzalez, and
I
I'll tell you
right.
why.
I started
Kansas City sucks ass. You know that, what's his name, Witten? He's a go-to for Tony Romo.
Yeah.
He's a go-to.
Okay, well, I started. That's who's in my lineup. I will not make that change. Otherwise, I think I'm there. I think I am there. And, boy, what satisfaction I will have wiping the floor with Matt DePaulo.
All right, well, to be determined.
And you're not trash talking. I'm surprised. You've got Joe over there in the other room.
I told you. It's
you're not feeling confident?
No, here's the thing. It is really dumb luck. And I wouldn't feel right screaming about being 8-6. When in the other leagues I'm in, I'm like, one league I'm 6-8. The other league I'm the 3-11 guy.
Of course
so.
It's dumb luck. I mean, that's what makes it so funny when we do draft day and everybody's like getting all serious about it. When you can just simply look at a board on a computer screen 5 minutes before you pick, and you can go to the Super Bowl.
However, Raul, I do have to say that there is some skill involved.
There is some skill involved.
Well, what was that supposed to mean?
Because your team sucks. and I just got done saying that it's dumb luck.
Well, I'll tell you what I did. I picked up Ernest Graham from Tampa Bay.
Hold on. Are you picking a fight with my son?
I'm just saying I'm not the worst in the league.
Yeah, well, excuse me, he's going to college. You know, what's your excuse? You got a wife and two kids.
Maybe if he was in college, he should have picked them. Smart boy.
Rob takes no prisoners in fantasy leagues.
Let me just say, this is not for me, okay?
Because I understood. And it's not being said to me.
Right. No, it is.
Okay.
Bart says you're fat.
So Buzz has been emailing Bart.
You got that from me.
You know, I just want to say thing about fantasy.
Bart doesn't give a rat's ass.
I really hope there's a person that's listening as we review this season. And that individual's name is Travis Butler Edlin.
Yes.
Who I fired this year as my general manager.
He's probably listening
at the
gym.
I took the reins. This is like Jerry Jones coming down and taking over the whole team. That's
did
what
you
I did.
Say he's listening at the gym?
No doubt.
Wonder how much, he gets along really well with that guy.
Well, they never fought.
They never fought at all.
He never raised his voice. I don't know. I'm fat.
He said, even after the trainer said, you're going to die.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, now it'd be your turn to tell Travis he's going to die.
Yes, Travis, I have to say, it was an incredible rebound year that I had without you.
Is there a chance, even a glimmer of hope, that you two could rebuild a bridge?
No. Wow. No, because this is the way I will manage my fantasy team, for years to come.
Yeah,
absolutely. Even after I'm unemployed, I will. I will manage my fantasy team like this.
How's that league gonna work out next year, Mike?
It's gonna be fantastic.
The league of one.
It'll be a reunion. It'll be a reunion at your house. That's exactly it. One time a year we'll all see each other again. It'll be fantastic. It'll be delightful.
We got a break because we were so long-winded before. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
What glorious
WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Rob, Don, listen. An explanation of Kwanzaa.
What's Kwanzaa?
Kwanzaa is celebrated the 7 days after Christmas and emphasizes principles of family, community, and culture. This peaceful African holiday was the great idea of Dr. Malana Karenga. Later, one of his bad ideas led him to prison for 4 years for felonious assault and false imprisonment. Although Kwanzaa has enjoyed limited success, felonious assault swept the nation and continues to thrive throughout the African-American community today.
Rob writes, I'm not buying it.
The Don and Mike Show.
Okay, Robbie.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
He does like to disco dance, doesn't he?
You are a funny man.
And as for my clothes, well, you happen to have caught me in a moment of self-pleasure. But appreciate your discretion. That will be all.
Okay.
All right. A little quiet for Super Jock.
Here we are.
Is there a problem?
Yeah, you never shut up.
They webbed you. That means you got the Don and Mike Show.
That boy gayed in a handbag full of rainbows.
You know what? You are on your game today.
And it is the last day of Hanukkah.
Happy f***ing Hanukkah. The Don and Mike Show.
Dreidel, 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 I made it out of clay. And when it's dry and ready, then dreidel I will play. I don't know the rest of the words, but neither do you. You know nothing about Hanukkah, so here we go again. Hey, dreidel, 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 I made it out of clay. From me to you, Don and Mike, have a happy holiday. Miss you guys. Sorry I'm not with you. Take care.
Love the ending of that.
Alan Goodman from
Like
Columbus.
He's very busy. Like he's going to go take a nice BM.
From Columbus, Ohio.
It's got to go. Take care.
We do have $1,000 to give away every day this week.
Wow.
Attention. Attention, trailer folk.
Oh, dear. Oh, no. Should we be polishing our crap detectors?
I believe so.
Mm-hmm.
It is the Christmas season. Mm-hmm. And we do have a game called The Big Christmas Lie, which would be a lie you've told somebody about Christmas in the past that they don't know about.
Right. The big lie.
Bumpuses.
And my God, do the white trash come out for this? No offense.
Oh, for $1,000.
Mm-hmm. No offense to our brothers and sisters out there.
No.
But this is an event that is dominated by white trash. And we have a
absolutely
call in with your Christmas lie for $1,000 contest.
It was one time I shot his dog. And he liked to fall out when he saw it was dead.
I like to die.
A whole Christmas tree.
I like to die. We will play The Big Lie, the Christmas Big Lie for $1,000.
Very good.
Oh, what the hell? We'll probably start here in a couple of minutes.
Good idea.
You might as well start calling now at 877-365-3636.
Or start your planning now. Start your scheming now.
Get your fibs together.
Come on now.
Commence the conjure.
And then, of course, it's always the reaction to the lie. It's like, it says, well, you shot your dog. Whoa, did he really? I'm so darn mad.
Call your kinfolk.
Man, oh, man.
Ask them if they want to participate in a little public access theater.
Do not come home for supper tonight, Jimmy. I'm afeard I'm angry.
The kind of thing you'll hear.
In the next break, we will take calls from folks who have some lie that they've told somebody in relation to Christmas. We'll pick the very best one, call the person that they lied to, make them fess up. Give them $1,000.
Right.
It's a pretty bland game when you look at it on paper, but what makes it so wonderful is the fact that there's the combination of people with real life stories that crack our asses up.
Sure.
And then there are also the people out there that think they're going to pull one over on us.
And that's when we start the sleuthing, so you never know what direction it's going to go in. And it doesn't have to be a horrible lie. It can be a hysterical lie. Those are accepted, too.
Sure.
You know, it doesn't always have to be. And you know, as we've said before, you know, I slept with my brother's, you know, wife or something. That doesn't work.
We don't do
infidelity.
That.
Cats, that's the only area that we don't go to.
Right.
However.
Burning the house down?
Even with infidelity, though, there is an exception to every rule.
Exactly. Of course.
But it would have to be, you know, something that really wows the judges.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
So look at all the lines we're at right now.
Now, that's good. The people that call early, I don't have problems with because it's the hangers-on.
Mm-hmm.
It's the late arrivals that, you know, hey, how y'all doing? I got a big lie.
Just throwing it out there right now. It's over an hour until the news, so we'll have plenty of time to get to this.
All right.
Before we start with the calls, did you see the Regis show today?
I did.
No.
Did you see him announce his Oscar gig?
Yeah, he's going to be working the red carpet.
Now, this poor old man, seriously.
Who has to go to a three-day work week.
Yeah. He announces today he's very excited about a gig he's got. And I, for half a second, think they've chosen him to host the Oscars.
No.
Because I'm half listening to the TV.
No, they've chosen him to be Joan Rivers.
Right. I'm half listening to the TV, and I'm thinking to myself as I'm half listening and writing something down, have they named a host this year? And what if there's a writer's strike?
Right.
And maybe he would be the guy that they would go to.
Aren't they saying the Oscars might be canceled this year?
They have said that.
Because of the writer's strike. But wasn't he Ego Regis today? I'm the, they picked me.
Here he is now announcing, in essence, that he's going to be Joan Rivers.
He's so full of himself, too. Listen to this.
I'm going to host the Oscar red carpet show this year just before the Academy Awards.
You know, this is what I hear from the other room. The TV's on, and I hear, I'm going to host the Oscar, and I hear, So I come into the room, and I go, is Regis hosting the Oscars?
That would be an impossibility.
And Jan says, no, I think he's doing, like, the Joan Rivers show.
Yeah, he's doing the red carpet show.
I'm going to host the Oscar red carpet show this year just before the Academy Awards.
Be sort of like, will you be asking people who they're wearing, what they're wearing, or will it be more like tell us about the film this year, that kind of thing? Or you haven't decided?
I haven't decided my approach yet. You know, years ago, I think we've talked about this and in another show.
This is funny.
He's such a dope.
Now, he pulls a Howard Stern here. I want you to listen to him as he tries to tell you that Regis Philbin is the guy that invented... Mm-hmm. Talking to celebrities on the red carpet for the Oscars.
Right.
Listen to this.
WKABC, I worked at KABC in Los Angeles, we decided that we were going to cover the Academy Awards pre-show. And so we had a camera, and it was very primitive, but it was the beginning of this red carpet mania. Nobody else was doing it. We were the only ones on the carpet, my producer, Frank Kelly, and I. And so we put it all together. We did it, and it looked like this.
And if you think this sounds boring to listen to on the radio, you got to imagine him.
Well, he is swimming in like me like nobody is swimming in like
me. And he's got the feeble old man talons, the age spot hands, the big, gigantic, too long fingernails. And he's holding up like pictures of him when he looked like he was 13 years old.
Yes, talking to Richard Chamberlain. That's the picture. And Regis wearing the big ruffled tuxedo. Hi, how are you?
He's got the big old-fashioned headset jobber on.
Right. But, you know, Regis takes this invite to do this show, and he just thinks he's the most happening guy in the world now.
He thinks
it's
a serious gig.
Oh, he really does.
He doesn't know that Ryan Seacrest turned this down.
He doesn't know that Joan Rivers and Melissa Rivers did this for years.
Right. And that Star Jones did it.
I know.
I mean, God, really.
In those days, and there I am with those big earphones.
I love it.
There's Richard Chamberlain coming down the aisle. And so now, gosh, it's been like, it's been more than a quarter of a century. Regis returns. That's it.
Listen to that audience of mooks.
They could say, Regis, we want you to be outside where the chefs are taking the plates after the after parties and dumping them into the dumpster. Well, I'll do it.
Let me ask you this, then. This Oscar red carpet thing, is this something you plan on doing every 25 years? Or...
I just thought I'd go back to see what
I just want to know, should I set my calendar?
That is kind of funny,
isn't
it?
It's that time of century again, kids. Regis is hosting the red carpet.
He's been asking me, the producer of the show, and I just...
Are you nervous?
No, not really. No.
You don't get nervous.
But I will that night. Ooh, the excitement of it all.
Yeah.
Ooh.
What will you wear? Do you think you'll wear the stand?
Poor Regis.
You know, the thing about Regis, in his own way, Regis is just oozing the egomaniac thing. You could say, the producer... He's been asking me for years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're just so hot. As soon as Joan Rivers got blown out.
Joan Rivers loses the gig, so they go, who's the guy who will do anything on TV?
Exactly.
Is Terry Bradshaw busy? Well, then call Reed.
And what about the tone he takes when she says, will you do it again in 25 years? And he says, that is funny,
That is funny, sort of. Yes, I'll be dead.
Here's another funny Regis moment from today.
Is this the cell phones?
No. Oh, God. Although, yeah, that was a good long.
Oh, my God.
I tried to pull tape of that, but the thing was 10 minutes long. There was no in, there was no out.
He doesn't understand cell phones.
Right. I mean, most men his age understand more about cell phones than he does.
Yeah, don't you see you can keep it in your pocket so when the phone rings, you don't have to run into the bedroom?
Here's Regis Philbin discussing how last night he was watching a movie on TV, and he was very mad. Because commercials would happen, and he would change the channel to another movie.
Didn't it sound like it's the first time he ever watched television?
And there would be more commercials. And then, listen, she says, like, you haven't heard of HBO. Anyway, here we go.
But you know there's only one place you can watch uninterrupted movies on television now, and that's TCM, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Well, I mean, besides, like, the, you know, HBO and all of those.
Oh, sure. You know, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Those movie channels.
So how you doing?
He's such a moron.
Changed the subject.
Really, he's such an amazing moron. It is a miracle this man is at the pinnacle of the TV world.
He has just gone through a diatribe about how he's watching Taxi Driver, and every time...
And he's watching White Christmas with Bing Crosby.
And every time they get to a good part in one of the movies, commercials come on.
Right. And he's very angry in his thimble-sized brain.
And then she says to him, because she doesn't want to say you're retarded, she says, well, you know, there are channels out there where you can get movies that don't have commercials. And here is what his response was. He says...
But you know there's only one place you can watch uninterrupted movies on television now, and that's TCM, right?
Right?
Turner Classic.
What do you do, Regis? Do you go between two channels? I mean, there are 500 movie channels where you can watch uninterrupted movies.
How could you possibly be the Joan Rivers host of the Oscars and not even know what HBO is?
There's only TCM, right? The classic movies? The old ones that I watch, you know?
Regis, I know you're getting...
Like Some Like It Hot?
Because your favorite show is coming on soon, The Fireplace Log.
But you know there's only one place you can watch uninterrupted movies on television now, and that's TCM, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Well, I mean, besides, like, the, you know, HBO and all of those...
thank God for her.
You're absolutely right, yeah.
Those movie channels.
So how you doing?
Yes, and that's it. So how you doing? Let's get off this subject because I'm a retard.
The whimsical Tony gets in his voice, right?
Yes, so that TCM, right? That's the only one?
That's it?
And so, here's the deal.
How you doing?
When he's talking about cell phones, he says, I don't have a... I have to run from one room to the other.
The bedroom.
So he doesn't even have wireless phones in his house.
No, just the princess phone.
They're all like dial phones that are hardwired.
He's thrilled about the thought that you can walk down the street and someone calls you.
It's amazing. Truly amazing. Look, computers, I give old people a free pass on. Cell phones, God. I'm sorry, they've been around too long.
I love Regis Philbin. He is maybe one of the greatest broadcasters of all time. But how feebed out he is.
Right.
And
how sheltered he is.
What a poor sap. That guy is Regis effing Philbin. And he's picking up the loose ends from Joan Rivers.
Yeah, he'll be doing a two-day work week that week.
And he's on TV announcing like it's some gigantic tribute that he's got.
Right.
Some gigantic thing that he should be so thankful for.
And it'll be fun to watch, though. Because, you know, they have to take all those cues from the different people that are located at different parts of the red carpet. Very confusing for Regis.
And being as it's an ABC production, do you think he'll work with Bergeron, buddy?
Probably. All right, who does Tom have now over there? You got anybody, Tom? Nobody. Well, all right. Well, who do I have in front of me?
And you know what you're going to get a lot from him? Because really, he does not. He will not work hard enough to memorize the stars.
Oh, no.
So who do we have here? Well, look at you.
Ah, Regis Philbin doesn't have a cell phone because he's so feebed out. 3-day work week on Dancing with the Stars.
Who are you?
I'm the self-loathing Tom Bergeron. Oscar time is here. I'm on the red carpet with Regis Philbin. That's right, you can see the flecks of his skin coming off on Dancing with the Stars. It's going to be an interesting show. Truly will.
Time for some Dancing with the Tards. Here we go now, everybody.
Yeah.
We got a whole hour set aside for this game.
Oh, boy.
The biggest Christmas lie you've ever told somebody that they don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
For $1,000 in cash. And don't forget, we will end up calling the person that you've lied to, so be ready for that.
Yes, and listen, when we're telling you to tell us about your big lie, don't lie to us about it.
No.
Okay?
Phone number is always 877-365-3636. We got $1,000. It will take your calls when we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show. WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Bork, 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 bork. Bork, bork. Bork, bork, bork.
Blue Christmas. Name that tune.
Bork, 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 bork. Bork, bork. Bork, bork, bork.
We're playing Guess That Bork. All right, your turn, Mike. You ready?
Okay.
Guess That Bork.
Bork, 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 bork. Bork, 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 bork.
That is Elmo and Patsy Bork.
Bork, right.
Bork, 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 bork.
Bork, 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 bork.
Bork, 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 bork.
That's all we got.
Oh, sorry.
And one for you, Buzz.
All right.
Name and claim it.
Bork, 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 bork. Bork, 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 bork.
Come on, Buzz. What is it?
Bork,
let it snow,
bork,
let it snow,
bork,
let it snow.
Bork, 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 bork.
The Don and Mike Show.
Mike Douglas says it best.
Happy birthday, Jesus.
You going to play it all the way up to the good part?
You know. Don and Mike Show.
Happy birthday, Jesus.
Hey, you know something?
No, what?
I had a dream last night.
A dolly. Cries and blinks its eyes.
Katie got a dolly.
Mike Douglas.
Jimmy got an automatic plane that really flies.
I was going to say automatic weapon. But Jimmy got an automatic weapon.
Christmas.
AK-47.
All night long. Sitting in the kitchen making us a present. It was this song.
Mike Douglas. And the Vietnamese singers.
Bells ring-a-ling, angels sing-a-ling. Happy birthday, Jesus.
Those background singers really sound like, do we still have that, didn't we have that, like, that Vietnamese?
Oh, the Hop Sing Christmas thing?
No, what was that? We had, like, bye, ah, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Muna, ya, ya, da, ya, vada, no, ya, 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 ya.
Like, generic Vietnamese, like you would see in Full Metal
Jacket.
Yeah,
it's a group of children, it sounds like, singing.
Yeah.
And filed under.
What? No.
What is that? I just see the front cover. Is that who I think it is? Is that the lovely lady?
Of course it is. The one, the only. Wing.
Wing.
As we get ready for the Christmas big
line. You better watch out. You better not fly. You better not cower. I'm telling you.
That's my favorite.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
There it is. Thank you, Rob. Now, let me put that with the Mike Douglas.
Are you going to put it with Mike Douglas and Wing?
Well, hold on, let me just. I think it sounds good with Mike Douglas.
Okay. That's Wing again.
Oh, you popped out Mike Douglas.
I popped out Mike Douglas.
Oh, he popped a zit.
Is he, can I take out two?
Yeah.
All right.
No, take out number one.
You're going to mix the small Asian children with Mike Douglas.
Because that's what the beginning sounds like to me, to my ears, when the kids sing, Happy
Birthday, Jesus. Do, 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 do.
Number 11.
This is going to be funny. I know it is already.
Katie got a dolly. Cries and blinks its eyes. Jimmy got an automatic plane that really flies. Mama stayed up all night long.
Everybody's singing.
In the kitchen making us a present. It was this song. Church bells ring-a-ling, angels sing-a-ling. Happy birthday, Jesus.
We don't know the wings of the high mighty.
Oh, fantastic.
Okay.
It all works really well together.
This will actually also serve as a good music venue.
You think so? Let's see. Ah, very festive, Rob.
Thank you.
Indeed.
I like this. It's like New Year. There should be a dragon running around outside.
Here we go. Cats, kittens, welcome to the Don and Mike Show. We have $1,000. The name of the game is the Christmas Big Lie.
Yeah, good luck.
You've lied to somebody before about Christmas. Big guy, rat you out. Give me $1,000 if it's a good one. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Who's
doing
this?
Great.
Well, what's your name, please?
Brian.
Brian, what's the big Christmas lie? What's something you've kept from somebody about Christmas?
Well, really, it's to my mom the most. Basically, between the ages of 11 and 17 or 18, I opened every single Christmas package under the tree.
Get out of here. That is so absolutely paper thin. If you think that
I'll still keep him on my census, though.
If that's the worst thing that you've said that you think you've done.
Not thick enough.
Between 11 and 18. Wow.
18 years old.
Sing it, kids.
When I was small, I opened every present.
You better not shout. You better not fly. You better not follow. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
To town.
He's
Oh, the humanity of this show.
Hello, the humanity.
Hi, Don and Mike, hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi, what's your name, please?
Houston.
Hi there, Houston. I hope we don't have a problem. I bet you don't hear that too much. My apologies.
Houston.
Houston, what's the big lie you've told someone about Christmas?
Well, last year we went to it's like a lingerie Christmas party.
Mm-hmm.
My girlfriend and I, and the host of the party lived there with her husband, and drinks led to this and that, and I ended up sleeping with it.
Sleeping with it. Now, describe it, because I think we said we're not really keen on infidelities. Exactly who was it?
The owner of the house.
The lady?
The person that was throwing the party.
So you cheated, cheated on your wife with the owner of the house?
Correct.
Liar!
Yeah, and besides, infidelities, you know, unless there's comedic value.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
I'm surprised that didn't start with, I can't believe I'm telling you this.
To Houston.
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 Never trust a guy named Houston.
Right.
Right, kids. The Dynamite Children's Choir.
I bet his sister Tulsa was pretty mad about that.
Oh, pipe down now, kids. You don't get your juice boxes. Hello, Don and Mike Show. What's your name? Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, who's this? Hello, who is this?
Hello.
Yes, are you having trouble hearing us?
This is Rel.
What is it?
My name is Rel, R-E-L-L, Rel.
Rel, okay. Rel, have you lied to someone about Christmas?
Yes, I have. Back in 2001, I had this boyfriend, and we'd been living together for a while. And I was pretty sure he was going to propose to me. About a week before Christmas, I secretly got my own place. Come Christmas Day, he asked me to marry him, and I said no, or I said yes, with absolutely no intentions on doing so in the day after I left.
So what's the lie if you left the guy he already knows?
He didn't. He thought that I was going to do it. He thought I got cold feet and backed out and actually had intentions.
It doesn't work. He knows. It doesn't work, Rel.
He knows now.
Not thick enough.
You've already come clean on the lie because you said yes, and then you had no intention of it, and you told him no. Mm-hmm. So he knows that it was no. But let's bring the five-year-old Chinese girls in.
These are all the kids that Mike and I have adopted.
That's right.
Through our generous scrotum program. As you know, you see the big Don and Mike scrotum in front of various Kohl's stores.
And you can get one this Christmas that lights up.
It's the Don and Mike Bound Foot Choir.
Delightful.
I love that song.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Come on, this is the Christmas Big Lie for $1,000. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Melanie.
Hi, Melanie. How are you, honey?
I'm doing groovy.
What is...
I just want to say one thing.
What's that?
I really have to. I feel it's important. They're thick today.
They are.
The salmon are going upstream today.
Okay.
Sorry to interrupt you, Melanie.
Mel, what is your Christmas lie?
This Sunday, I took my son out for dinner,
and I told him that we were poor, and he's wanting a game console, and I said that that's not going to happen, that he'll probably get a pair of socks and a little toy car, like a Matchbox car.
Yes.
But I did get him the system.
Well, see, that's a sweet line. That's a nice mommy thing to do. He's going to have a wonderful Christmas. How could we possibly give you $1,000?
Yeah, but I made him cry.
Well, honey, you made him cry.
Good for you.
Well, good. I'm sure you can do that every day.
But yeah, now, remind him about that he's not getting that system, and then Christmas will be even better.
Don't you know that that's how, listen, that doesn't count. That's how parents play it.
Right.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
It's your whole job to say to the kid, right, hey, you can think you're getting anything except you're not getting this game console. Right.
Okay.
And besides, to win, we'd have to call your son and tell him what he's getting for Christmas. And
oh, no. That wouldn't be cool.
No.
That wouldn't be cool.
Sorry, Melanie. Right.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much. Say hi to Rel Houston and Brian.
Merry Christmas, Tramp.
Oh, the children.
And didn't everybody, if you had good parents, you had a moment like that?
Yeah, sure.
Where they said you weren't getting something and you got something you didn't expect? Like Ralphie in A Christmas Story.
In my household, it has to do with telling them that if they're not good, they're not going to get anything at all. Mm-hmm.
Can I just take a moment to ask? Buzz, when you were out today,
yes,
did you happen to stop by a Starbucks maybe or a 7-Eleven and buy a beverage of any kind when you were out doing your speech today?
No, I did not.
Did you stop today and buy a beverage anywhere?
Not a beverage, no.
Will someone play along? Mike, did you stop today?
Yeah.
What'd you buy?
Fifth of vodka. I'm sorry. No, I bought a latte. I bought a latte mocha.
Thank you, Mike. Do you know that for the cost of that latte? That's all I'm doing. Everybody's looking at me like it's an inquisition. You didn't tell us?
Nobody wanted to answer.
Yeah, what do you know?
What did you have to drink today?
Future reference, go to me first.
Okay.
All right.
Many of the kids know how to make a delicious mocha, too.
For just $2.95 a day, you can get these orphans singing lessons.
How long has Kwong been living with you?
A very, very long time, just in the basement.
Yeah. Ching is at my house.
I got four of them in my closet. The acrobats.
Oh, they're good.
I saw the acrobats at Disney World last year. Phenomenal.
They are.
Absolutely incredible, and I gave them all mocha lattes.
And all good at math.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Vodka.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, what's your name? Hi there.
My name is Matt.
Hi, Matt. You calling about the big lie, the big Christmas lie?
Yes, I am.
And who is it? What is the lie? Tell us, please.
Well, last year we took a trip to New York City with the family and put everybody to bed, and I went back out and went and watched a live sex show.
I believe him.
That's not bad.
I believe him, and it's funny.
That's not bad. We need a lot of details from you. For instance,
a lot.
Where were you staying in New York? Where was the sex show at? Please answer both questions.
Well, we were staying at the Best Western. It was down near Times Square, and the family and I, we were walking around earlier, and we were on that, you know, that bad block, right, you know, across from Times Square, I guess.
This is last year?
Yeah. And so anyway, we were walking through there, and we saw a joke shop. And so we took the kids in there, and it was fine. And I was kind of curious, so I walked into, you know, I told my wife, I said, I'll be right back. And I walked in, and I saw the girls, they were kind of like waving me. And I was like, what? I said, no.
When you say live sex show, mm-hmm.
You mean strippers?
You mean was it a peep show?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it was more of a peep show. It was a girl that, you know, took you into a booth. You sat down, the window opened up, and she did her thing.
That's a peep show.
Okay.
Because the live sex show would have been years ago.
That's way back in the day.
Right.
Oh, okay. So, well, it was kind of sex, right? I mean,
you don't get out much, do you?
I mean, seriously, I've told the story before, but when I was 18, I got hired at 99X in New York, the biggest FM station in the world. Here in New York City at the point. They said in the world because they're, you know, New York, biggest in the world.
Right.
I'd never been to New York City in my life. The guy, Bill Garcia, the program director, flew me in for an interview. Said, you ever been to New York? Never. Took me downtown. And this was in 1977. Shady part of Times Square, man. It was bad then. We walked into a movie theater and there were people up on stage screwing. And we sat there for about 10 minutes. My jaw was dropping, and we watched people screw it on stage, and he said, well, that's about all you need to know about New York City. Serious. That was his introduction to New York.
That's back before they cleaned up Times Square.
Right.
Now, Now,
I have no way to top that.
Now, wait a minute. You said last year. Do they even have? They still.
Yes. That was going to be the question.
Because I don't know whether they do. Do they still have?
Isn't that whole
peep shows? I thought that was completely wiped out.
Isn't that area been cleaned up now? Like with the TGI Fridays.
Yeah.
And the Toys
Go down
on
there.
Us.
You got the ESPN zone down there. You got the WWE cafe. You get the Broadway tickets.
It's a block over.
I'm not going to dispute this until we get confirmation on it, because I mean, maybe they have those. I know they got tons of strip joints in New York City.
Here's a question for you, friend. When you left, you just snuck out and they never knew that you were out?
No, I told her. I told my wife, because when we were walking down there, they looked like adult stores, like video stores.
Mm-hmm. The place that you went into, did it have videos there also and like novelties?
That's what I thought it was. And when I walked in, I was kind of looking at the videotapes, and in the back, towards the back, was like a bunch of doors, mm-hmm. and there were girls standing on either end, and they were kind of like waving me over, and I said, okay.
I'm inclined to believe this.
I believe them, too. I just want to find out more about how it is that he slipped out of the room and went to see it.
Yeah, what did you tell your wife?
I told her I was going out for a beer and just checking things out, because they kind of, you know, her and the kids, they
Oh, wait a minute. The kids were there, too, on the family trip?
Yes. It was the four of us.
Well, that's good. Y'all staying in one room, I hope, because that's the way families should travel, right, with little kids?
That's all we can afford.
Right, okay, that's what I mean. Cause that makes the story better. If daddy has to get up, if the kids are in one bed and mommy's in the other bed, and daddy says, I want to go out and have a bit of New York nightlife, and it really goes to a place where you watch a girl from behind a screen.
How long were you gone?
Probably like in half hour to an hour, because I went down there, and the funny thing is I was always curious. And so I went in there, and I said, well, what's the situation? And she said, well, you pay that guy over there a certain amount of money, and then you go into the other door. You sit down. I go into this door, and the window goes up, and you put your money in. And then, you know, then I do my little thing. And I said, that's fine.
Well, did you do it?
Yeah, I did it. I sat there, and I watched her. Like, the 5 minutes went by, and I guess it was more out of curiosity, but I...
Sure. What did she do?
Pretty much, she... pleasure herself. That's, I mean, as much I can say in the air. But
so what did you say to your wife when you came back to the room?
I just went out for a beer.
You told her you went out for... No, but you've already said that. What did you say to her?
Well, Mike is asking, so you get back. She
doesn't ask details or anything like that. So, I mean, I just went out, walked around, and, you know.
All right, you're not bad. We'll
did you do it
you.
More than once?
Did I do it more than once?
Uh-huh.
No, we were only there one night.
Oh, okay, one night. All right, I believe him.
Here's the funny thing. The cool thing is, if I win this, I've made reservations actually for New York for Tuesday. I'm not going to do it again. But
yes, so you say.
You have to.
So you say.
How much?
Definitely help out.
How much did you pay just to watch the girl get off?
I want to say it was like I had to pay the guy $20, and then for her it was like $5 for 5 minutes. I really can't remember the exact price.
Now that's right. I mean, that sounds like the average New York peep show.
Isn't that
I'm not sure. I didn't know that the adult stores had that those shows
there
still going on back
action,
there.
I think it's two blocks off of what do you call it? Off of Times Square,
Broadway.
Yeah, closer to the. Closer
All right, hold
the
on. Room. You're All a right. finalist. Hold on.
If you win, would you like your money in quarters?
hold on a second, Mike. We got to go to break. We've got plenty more time and plenty more lines. Who did we talk to there?
Oh, we had a wonderful group of people, Don. We started out with Brian. He, between the ages of 11 and 18, opened every single package on Christmas that he ever had. Pixie. Then there was Houston the Liar. Houston, I went to the lingerie Christmas party, slept with the host of the party, the owner of the house. Then there was Rel, who in 2001 got engaged and then broke it off and wanted to... I have no idea what she was trying to do. Then there was Melanie, who really didn't understand the game at all either. She took her son out for dinner the other night and told him they were poor and could not afford the game system they wanted. And now they're going to get it. And they really got him the game system. That would not have worked. And then, of course, Matt, who last year took his family on a family vacation to New York City and put the family to bed and went down to enjoy a live sex show in Times Square.
That's the best we got right now.
That's what's going for us now.
We're playing for $1,000, 877-365-3636. I'm sure you can do better.
Absolutely.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show. about the vagina.
WJFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Let's say hi to our next contestant.
And I tucked the butcher knife and put it up to her neck. I said, if you want to live to see tomorrow, right, you better start frying them eggs a little bit better than what you're frying. And I'm tired of eating sloppy, slimy eggs.
The Don and Mike Show. Listen while you BM. It's the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, holy night. Well, it's $1,000 you're giving away every day this week. Tomorrow, I believe, we're going to whip out. We've never done Honk for Cash around Christmas time in a shopping mall.
True.
In a shopping mall parking lot.
That's serious money for that.
Yeah. We may actually end up going like $100 per honk.
Wow.
Or we may just give $1,000 to the person with the most honks.
I like that one better.
But either way, that's another day, another crap detector.
Right.
And this show is all about lying.
Mm-hmm.
It's the big lie. It's the big Christmas lie.
So far, only one real good one. That's Matt, who took his family last year to New York and put them down to bed and went to a live sex show. A peep show is what it's called in New York City.
Peep show, right. No real contact with a girl.
Right.
So let's see what's happening here, and let's go to this one. Hi there, Don. Don and Mike Show. Hi there, Christmas Big Lie. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, what's your name?
Eric.
Where are you from, Eric?
Spokane.
We thank you for listening to the, what is that, the Pacific Northwest.
The Great Northwest.
All right, what's your lie, my friend?
Well, we had a big family, 6 kids, so I used to unwrap presents of theirs and then to take them back. Actually steal them and return them because there was too many gifts given for anyone to really realize. So I would normally take about 1 or 2 from each of them.
And you did this with your siblings?
I just threw them out because that's unbelievable, and here's why. Unless you're in the Waltons and you have 10 brothers and sisters,
right,
moms and dads, generally speaking, know what the kids got.
Right. Yeah, they buy the presents, yeah, right, and they would know that. That's absolutely right.
And you
right
want to see the kids with a little pile of crap at the end of the day.
And what do you see, a little 8-year-old taking presents back to the store?
Yeah. I'm sorry, this is not what I wanted.
Maybe his parents were retarded. The call would suggest it.
Look at you, always looking at the glass half full.
That's right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Lead crystal.
It's the scientist in him. You can't let it go.
That's right. The student of the human mind.
What makes a Nazi? How does he get that way?
Maybe say for retarded.
We all think that way at the university.
Hello, your school.
Our Nazi lady of useless university.
University. Amen. Hello, Don and Mike Show. What's your name?
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi, who's this?
This is Todd.
Big Head Todd, where are you from?
Winchester.
Todd, what's the big lie, my friend?
Well, I was 14 years old, and my parents went out Christmas shopping, and we had a Labrador. Her name is Katie, and she licked everybody when she met them. Well, they left me home, and I stuck peanut butter right in the number 2 hole.
My God.
God's sakes.
Please.
You think, listen, post-Janet Jackson, or rather pre-Janet Jackson, that was an entire days worth of discussion on this show.
Right. Oh, of course. It's one of the great urban legends of all time, and that's what he was taking to use for his lie.
Ah, the good old days. Pre-Janet Jackson. I keep forgetting we're post-JJ.
Thank you for calling Todd the Neck.
Hello, Todd and Mike Show. Who's this?
Hey, this is Dan.
Hi, Dan. Where are you from?
Rochester, New York.
Thank you for listening in beautiful Crapchester, and what's your lie?
Well, it actually just happened a couple of days ago.
Really?
My wife and I were just married in September. Everything went beautifully. The florist wound up screwing us into an extra $4,000 bill. So we couldn't afford to pay off the photographer and get the rest of our pictures. So I just to get her off my back, I said, you know, look, I think my parents are thinking about buying the rest of the photographs for us so that we can get them and make our albums and send them out and blah, 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 and this and that. I just wanted to shut her up. I can't afford these damn pictures.
So what's the lie? I mean, I get the fact you're stringing her on. What's
so
the
still,
lie?
You still have not purchased the photographs.
No,
and,
I haven't.
And
I haven't
your parents aren't going to pay for them either.
No, they are not.
Well, so that's unfortunate.
I get it. Not thick enough.
Wedding pictures. I'll put him down. Wedding pictures.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Lucky lady, hey, it's Mark.
Hi there, Mark. Where are you from, a friend?
Right here in Baltimore.
Very good.
Charm City. What's your lie? What's your Christmas lie, Mark?
It just happened a few years back when I was a little younger there. I re-gifted a gift of a perfume that my mom had in the bottom drawer in the bathroom. Dad got her the same perfume, usually for, like, birthdays, anniversaries, Christmas. But on top of that, Dad hated shopping for, like, big gifts. He gave the money to me, and I went out, and I was going to get the sweater. My sister, who actually was going to be out of town for the holidays with her boyfriend, had bought a sweater. So I took the sweater from my sister, said to my dad it was from him to mom, and then in the pile of gifts we're giving to mom at Christmas time, just snuck that one in and kind of pimped my sister out of a gift given to mom, and I used the money to buy a PlayStation 1.
How do you sleep with yourself, you bastard? Are you kidding me? Get out of here.
Too meek and mellow. Regifted a perfume and a sweater.
Oh, my God. Call me when you do something dangerous like stealing a piece of bubble gum.
Thank you, Mark.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show. What's up? Who's this? Hi.
Hello.
Hello. What's your name?
Dave.
Hey, Dave. What's happening? Where are you from?
I'm from Pennsylvania, Harrisburg.
All right, Harrisburg, PA. And
I thought he said, I'm from Pennsylvania. Seriously.
The whole state.
Harrisburg, PA. And what is your Christmas lie?
My lie is whenever I was a kid, probably like 12 or 13, I had a friend who had a really hot sister.
Yeah.
And their family went on vacation, and I broke into their house.
Oh, no!
just to kind of, you know, check out her bedroom and, like, her, like, undies and things.
I'm sorry, Mike, a preemptive strike on my part.
Don, that was accurate. It was a crap detector. Rob and I had our crap detectors going off. I mean, oh, let me tell you, and he's just spinning it as he's going along. Oh, and then the police came.
And there was a unicorn.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
So help me.
Welcome to the My Little Pony Show. What's your name?
Dawn.
Dawn, what's your big Christmas lie?
Well, I told my son, who moved to Florida with his new wife and my new grandson in September, that I was flying them home for Christmas round trip.
Wait, hold on, Dawn. Wait, you told your son what?
I emailed my son and told him I was flying him, my new daughter-in-law, and my new grandson home for Christmas.
All right, and what's the lie?
I'm not actually doing it.
Now, why would you lie to your son and tell him that you were flying him and his new wife and your new grandbaby up when you really weren't? Why would you lie?
Well, because I thought I could afford it, and it turned out we can't afford it, so.
But isn't that a call you could make and say, hey, look, I really can't afford it?
Yeah, but, you know, as a mom, you want to try to do it, so I'm waiting until the last minute to see what comes up.
Well, keep waiting.
Yeah. You won't get that flight fare from us.
Thanks.
Good luck.
Thank you, Dawn. I'm flying you in for Christmas, son. Nope, not.
Dawn takes grease out of your way. Sorry, that just was not thick enough.
Son, no. Your airplane tickets will be at will call.
Hello there, Dawn and Mike Show. What's your name?
My name's Travis.
Travis, where are you from, a friend?
Joppatown, Maryland.
All right, what's your big Christmas lie, Travis?
All right, well, me and my fiance, we're getting married this coming July. Well, the first 3 years we dated, what I would do, I would say I had a family event on Christmas Eve, because that's when her family was. And I didn't get along with her family too well. Instead, me and my best friend would go and get completely and totally plastered to the wall. I'd fall down drunk.
That's what Jesus wants on his birthday. Okay, so you'd go get drunk.
That's it, I do.
We would just get drunk as hell, and I would tell her I'm with my family, and I'm nowhere around her.
So you didn't want to spend time with her family, so you'd say you had family obligations with your mom and dad, but you'd just go out and get drunk because you didn't want to be with her family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now, if you tell her, are you married now?
I'm getting married this coming July.
You're getting married. So you're engaged.
So what are the plans? What are the plans for this Christmas?
Pretty much the same thing.
Oh, it seems your cell phone's breaking up.
Gone. Yeah.
Put down. Travis got drunk away from her family.
Oh, that's a tasty one.
I like to fall out when I heard that story.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, how are you?
Hey, we're great. What's your name?
This is Lou Barrels.
All right, Lou.
I'm calling from Baltimore. I've got the greatest story ever.
I'm sure you do, Lou. What's your big lie? What's your big Christmas lie?
All right, here's the big Christmas lie. I got my girlfriend an autographed picture of the dodgeball team, Dance Party Vietnam. And I'm not going anywhere. It's just a shameless plug.
Merry Christmas.
What the hell was that?
I didn't delete it out because what the hell? It's just the holidays, Mike.
It was a plug for something.
I think it was a plug for High School Musical or something like that. I don't know. Hello, Donna Mike Show. Hi. Hello.
Hello, Donna Mike.
Yeah, what's your name?
This is Bob. I'm from Bel Air.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for listening to our show. And what's your big Christmas lie, Bob?
My big Christmas lie is several years ago, I was working sales calls, coming home the last day of work, probably December 22nd, 23rd, and had a problem with a reindeer or a buck. And we had a collision, and it got a little bit messy, and the car got a little bit damaged. And when I got home several hours later after pulling the fender out from the wheel and making it home with blood and deer guts all over the front of my car, my wife and my daughter came out. My daughter was about 3 years old at the time. And they wanted to know what happened, and I said, Daddy killed Rudolph. And the picture of my daughter with the quivering lip and she started busting out crying was priceless. That was my Christmas lie.
What a moron.
God, you're an idiot.
You are the biggest moron. So,
you want to tell your daughter, who you've already made cry, that you didn't really kill Rudolph. That's the genesis of this?
23 years later, she still loves me.
Oh, it's 23 years later.
Yeah.
So it's 20 years later, she was 3. Or is she 26?
She's 27.
She's 27.
So it's 24 years later.
Where does she live? What city?
She lives down in Virginia Beach.
What club does she strip at?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm sure she's hooking right now, so I bet she's not even going to be available for us to call. I'm very sorry. On behalf of everyone, I'm sorry. That's not thick enough.
He took a picture.
You took at the holidays.
You took a picture of her?
Did I take a picture of her or the reindeer?
You said the picture of your 3-year-old daughter with the quivering lip was priceless. Did you actually take a picture?
Oh, no. She met me out at the front door, and she took a look at the car with my wife. My wife wanted to know what I did.
It was just, it was a priceless memory that he had broken his little girl's heart.
The picture is in his mind forever.
That's right.
Are you divorced?
No. Still married. 30 years.
What do you sell? You said you're on sales calls. What do you sell?
Sell engines and transmissions.
Like Tommy Boy.
Exactly.
Well, I could take a dump in this box and market guarantee.
And we have something with a box and a guarantee on the outside of it also.
Okay. I'll buy from you.
I killed Rudolph.
Wait, what?
Not thick enough. Mike, who did we have there?
Oh, God. Where to begin?
Come on.
Where?
All right. Well, we had Eric. He took the presents back. Todd, 14-year-old with peanut butter. We didn't let him get out of the box.
Something about the dog. It was a lie.
Dan, with the wedding pictures that he said his parents would pay for. Mark, he re-gifted perfume and a sweater. Dave, he broke into his neighbor's house. Dawn told her son that she was flying. I wrote it down as she said it. Told him she was flying him in for Christmas. Travis got drunk to be away from her family. Mm-hmm. Lou, who got his girlfriend some high school plug, and I had no idea what it was about. It's the guy from Baltimore that plugged something. Bob, who went on sales calls, hit a deer, and told his 3-year-old daughter that he killed Rudolph. That's what we have to work with.
We
in
don't
this
got
round.
Much yet.
Wow!
But we still have we still have Matt. No, I'm sorry. Is it Matt?
I don't know. Who's the one guy we're holding on to?
We still have Matt, who last year took his family to New York, put him to bed, and went to a sex show.
That's right.
Matt's still hanging in there. He's the clear leader so far.
My God, this is a weak edition of this.
Especially for the money that's on the line. I'm very surprised.
And I think we started this an hour ago. All right. We'll continue.
I will predict that in the next segment, the conjuring really will begin.
Come on. Knock our socks off. Please.
Matt is still the leader.
For God's sakes.
Honey, go to sleep. I'm going down just to get a snack.
He just sneaked out of his room to go watch some girl behind the window.
I know. Yeah. I know. So far, he's the leader.
Yeah. Christ. Come on. Where's the sinners out there?
Sinners!
For God's sakes. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
That was funny.
WJFK.
This
is the Don and Mike Show.
More contestants.
The first time I got in trouble in my life, in my younger days, is breaking into a grocery store. I was sniffing a lot of gasoline at the time. In light of flood, and I just didn't care whether I lived or not, as long as I was happy and had my pocket full, you know, to share of the world, any way I could get it. I broke in the store just to get lighter fluid to sniff. And that's one reason a woman knew that I did it and I was guilty for what I'd done. I gave myself away when I stole that case of lighter fluid because my father went there and told her not to sell it to me because I was a sniffer.
I was sniffing it.
Just as cute as a peyote button. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, just about ready here to see if we can find a winner for the Christmas Big Lie.
I'm optimistic.
But first, RuPaul.
Saw Daddy kissing Santa Claus.
Gay.
Wow.
All right, enough of that. Before we move on, earlier in the show, some tool called and said, hey, Don and Mike, I'm a guy with a lot of pimples on my butt. And I listened to the Jim Rome show. And, man, did you hear Arthur Blank say that? Say that. Michael Vick should eat fried chicken. He's a racist. Eject out. Bye. Okay.
You had mentioned during that you had heard the owner of the Atlantic Falcons on last night on the telecast. I didn't think it was that big a deal.
Didn't catch any type of racial inference. Anyway, here's the tape of Arthur Blank from last night on Monday Night Football.
First down. I want to just pick up on something. I believe, if I read your statement correctly, today you did not rule out the possibility that Michael Vick could come back here. I think that surprised a lot of people.
Well, you know, having just turned 65 in September, I realize the word never is a very strong word. You know, there's a lot of roadblocks to Michael coming back and even playing in the National Football League, Tony. Mm-hmm. Let's assume he's out for 3 seasons, 7, 8, and 9. If he, you know, he doesn't watch himself, he can eat a lot of fried chicken and fries and in prison come out at 250 pounds, he's not going to be.
There's nothing racial.
It's a throwaway, and the fact that he says fried chicken and fries. Same about fried food. I mean, I really don't think that's a racial thing.
Starts it off by saying I'm a 65-year-old man. What the hell does he know about going to jail?
Right? Yeah, exactly. So anyway. So I think that's it's exactly what you described. And
well, I'm glad that Jim Rome was able to make some controversy out of it today.
Yeah, really.
Come on.
I think it's bad.
Arthur Blank.
I'm drawing a blank.
Phenomenal racist.
Phenomenal. John, thanks for the call.
Thank you, Mike. Happy ho-ho holidays.
I think we're going to get a winner this time.
Don and Mike Show, hello.
Gentlemen, I hope I have your winner.
I hope you do as well. Hold on, let's do some formalities here. What's your name, please?
My name is Jim.
What city are you from, Jimbo?
I am from Maryland. I refuse to say I'm from Baltimore after that last idiot.
All right, what's your Christmas big lie, my friend?
Well, I don't know how religious you gentlemen are, but they used to have this thing called Midnight Mass at Christmas Eve.
Sure.
Well, they still do, Jim.
When I was younger, I used to always go, and you remember when the Atari system first came out?
Sure.
This was a while ago. Well, those things used to burn up pretty often. When I was younger, my parents told me to turn the system off or go into Midnight Mass. Turned the system off, and we went to Midnight Mass, and afterwards, we came back to the house to find no house.
Why is that, sir?
The system had caught on fire and had burned the house down. We came to the house on fire.
I so want to believe in Christmas, Mike. I so want to believe.
You know,
in this
game. Particular circumstance,
gentlemen. Unfortunately, I'm not lying to you.
So do I. So you didn't tell
your story that's won me a lot of bets, but unfortunately, it's very true.
But you didn't tell anyone that it was... Well, they knew it was your system. How... If the house was burned down and you knew it was the Atari system, unless you're just filled with guilt, how would you possibly have known it was your Atari system that did it?
Good question.
That's the only thing I could imagine it was, guys.
You can imagine
unknown.
It was.
What did the fire investigators say?
They said the cause was unknown.
Uh-huh. Well, then investigators should let you off the hook. Did your parents at any time say, I bet it was that Atari system?
They had made jokes of it after we had gotten a little bit older.
No, come on, get out of here.
So where's the lie?
You're wasting our time. Please, stop it.
I have never heard of any video game system bursting into flames.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Edward G. here.
What, who's this? Hello?
Edward G.
Edward G. Robinson.
Yeah, right, see?
Hi, Ed. What's happening?
Well, yeah, I've got a nice story for you. I came upon your station, and I got to tell this happened. Me and my wife got divorced a few years ago.
Yeah.
And she got the house. There's no kids involved, but she got the house. I'm paying for the house. I'm in my apartment. And, you know, we're talking back and forth. We love each other. We might get back together. And I was offered a job. I live in South Florida, and I was offered a job out in Las Vegas. And I turned it down because I wanted to stay with her. I was coming over one morning to tell her, and I see a guy coming out of her house, out of my house.
Oh, my.
So I told her, look, that's okay. Forget about that stuff. I came over to tell you. I accepted that job in Las Vegas, and I had already turned it down. But I didn't tell her that.
But what is that's that a sad lie. You should have taken the job.
What does that have to do with Christmas?
Because it was at Christmas time.
But, I mean, the lie hurts you.
She was banging some other guy. And
you had an opportunity to go to Las Vegas. You stuck around because you thought maybe there'd be something between you two.
Right.
That's a horrible story. That's not a lie. That's a terrible, sad story, Edward.
The story's not done. Hang on.
Hold on. Oh, did she end
it's
up?
Not done. So I tell her that I'm leaving, and because of the situation with her and her boyfriend, and as we weren't really talking, so she thinks I'm out in Las Vegas, and we're talking email over my cell phone, and we're getting back together. And so I tell her, look, you know, I'll send you a ticket out. Come on out and visit me. We'll talk things over. This is like 3 months later. And she takes the ticket. I send her a ticket. And she gets out to McLaren Airport.
Yes.
Where are you? And I'm saying, I'm right here.
No. Right. You're putting a lie on top of a lie here.
What's the end of the story? I just have to know, what's the end game? What's the lie, please?
I sent her a one-way ticket to Las Vegas, and I'm still in South Florida.
Well, she knew you were lying to her. You see, people are not even telling lies now.
Hold on. If she, in fact, if you did this, she already knows you bought her a one-way ticket, so where's the lie?
Because I'm still living in Florida. I don't live in Vegas.
Yes, but do you understand she knows that because she hasn't seen you in Vegas?
And if you bought her a ticket...
This is BS anyway.
As you said, if you bought her a ticket a year ago to Las Vegas and it was a one-way ticket, then you can't surprise her by saying, hey, that ticket I bought you, it's a one-way ticket.
Because she knows already.
She already knows. And as a matter of fact, who cares that you're still in South Florida? She's probably still there banging the guy that you caught her banging. I want to know what happened to that guy.
Or she's back in South Florida. She got her way back. She made her way back.
Isn't that where everything started, though?
Yeah, she made her way back, and we're not talking anymore at all because I left. There was 4 hours on the phone.
I don't understand this. Is it,
no, it's so convoluted because he's lying.
Not a lie anymore. No.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
I
like it. Hello.
Hello.
We're just trying to give away $1,000. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Good evening, Don and Mike. How you doing?
Hey, what's happening? Who's this?
My name's Ike. I'm in Northern Virginia.
Ike, I hate what you did to your wife.
First thing, nobody knows this, so this isn't a lie that anybody knows about.
All right.
Let me get that right out of the way.
Okay.
About 5 years ago, we hadn't seen my little brother in many years. He moved to Texas to be with my mom after my parents split up. I flew him up to Maryland, where I was living at the time, with his then-fiancée, now wife. Sent them up to New Jersey to see the family for the big family to-do.
Can you please hold on for a moment?
This has got so many different directions.
Already
now.
Too confusing.
I'm sorry. Let me see if I can. I'll surmise and then we can go from
Thank
there.
Thank you. Dumb it
you
down.
You mean summarize?
Dumb it down for us, please.
I flew my little brother into town, sent him up to see relatives while I went to Atlantic City.
All right, BFD.
Okay.
Thank you, though, Ike. Thanks for playing.
Bye-bye.
Not quite clicking.
Wish Tina would have hit back. Hi there, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Happy Hanukkah, boys.
Right on.
Happy f***ing Hanukkah. The Don and Mike Show.
Last crazy night.
When I was in eighth grade.
Hey, please. What's your name, my friend?
I'm sorry. Jonathan.
The amazing Jonathan.
That's it. You got Las Vegas on the brain.
All right, Jonathan, what's your Christmas lie?
And when I was in eighth grade,
yes, Jonathan,
there was a boy, a young guy who was new to the school, and he was there for a few months, but he was the class clown. You
amazing.
Know? And amazing he did a bunch of stuff and was real popular. Well, he left mysteriously around Thanksgiving time. And me and my friends were always jokesters and always fooled around and played pranks. Well, I don't know where I came up with the scheme to just tell everybody that I heard over the scanner that he had been killed. And I told a few people, and it rolled on through the school. And in this little hick town I lived in with one traffic light, everyone goes to sleep with their scanner on because nothing ever comes across it to wake you up anyway.
Right.
Well, there was some speculation I was lying at first, but then I just stayed with it and kept a straight face. Uh-huh. And by lunchtime, I had three girls crying, and I was busted up laughing. And I told my friends I let them in on the joke. Uh-huh. And we were just rolling on that. For
all right,
about
so
a
it's
week.
Not a bad little lie.
So the lie is that you told everybody at school that this kid got killed.
Yeah,
and everybody believed. Now, who would we? In playing this game, who would we call to tell that you lied?
Who are you coming clean to?
Oh, boy.
Didn't think that one through, huh, Jonathan?
I don't keep in contact with everybody at school anymore.
I mean, it'd probably be hard to find a little eight-year-old, eighth-grade boy that you said was dead.
Well, they did. I did tell them eventually that it wasn't true.
Well, then,
it's not a lie.
Then you've already played the game for yourself.
You've come clean, but we sure enjoyed the story.
You're already a winner.
Oh,
nice job, Jonathan.
You're a winner in life.
Thank you.
All right.
Say two Hail Marys and have a nice weekend.
You too.
Somewhere along the line today.
Bye-bye.
The rules of the simplest game we play
became
confused.
I don't know. It used to be a bunch of sniffers, a bunch of glue sniffers,
right.
And now we have really pedestrian people with really everyday things that are not even lies.
Right.
What did we have there, Mike?
The last segment we had Bob. He was the one. Did we have him in the last segment or this one where he hit a deer and told him it was Rudolph? That was the last segment. We had Jim who, tragically burned the house down with his game system.
Uh-huh. We had his Atari. Right. We didn't believe that.
We had Edward G. I didn't write anything down. I just put big liar. That's all I put there. We had Ike, who, something about his little brother, we stopped paying attention.
Right.
And then Jonathan, who had a lovely story about telling all the kids in school, all the girls in school, that the young man that had left under mysterious circumstances
had died.
We enjoyed the story, but unfortunately he's already told everybody that it was a lie, so it really wouldn't work for the purposes of this game.
Right.
Because Jonathan, although a good storyteller, is a bit of an idiot.
He's not amazing, is he?
He is not the amazing Jonathan.
I want everyone to know that we are really...
I'm the oldest man in the world.
We are bogarting Buzz's news time as we go to overtime for this feature.
Is this like a bonus round?
Mike, this may be continued on tomorrow's episode.
Wow. If we don't get anyone that's worthwhile, it might be a rollover.
We may roll it over tomorrow with a $2,000 prize, but we'll give you one more shot.
All 18 contestants so far have been a little disappointing. Except for Matt. I know Matt is not the greatest lie, but at least Matt's was something that he was playing by the proper rules.
Right. This bastard is going to get a prize today no matter what.
Exactly. Good.
The guy that snuck out of his hotel room to go see a nudie show in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
God bless him. Right. We'll be right back and see if anything is thicker. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I thought Santa Claus was kind of creepy as a kid. He sees you when you're sleeping. We had a guy like that in our neighborhood, and we had him arrested. Every year, my relatives give me one of them Hickory Farm gift baskets. You ever get that? Why was that ever a tradition? What does that have to do with Christmas? Nothing says happy birthday, Jesus, like a 2-foot meat log and some spicy mustard. I tell you what. Yeah, you eat one of them gift baskets, it'll be your last supper, I guarantee you. And what's with the fruitcake, that piece of crap? Good night. Why is it they can make underwear you can eat, but not a fruitcake?
Who is it?
The Don and Mike Show.
like paying for sex with a bad hooker. The Don and Mike Show.
Hey.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with a bad hooker.
Well, we're back. We're in overtime now. Super double secret probation overtime.
Out of 18 contestants, we've only had one even attempt to rise to the surface, and that's Matt, who took the family to New York and went to the Peep Show.
The Christmas Big Lie, $1,000. We may not have a winner today. We may roll the money over till tomorrow. We'll give everybody a chance to win something. Let's just see what's going on. Yeah. Let's go back to calls. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Okay. Hi, who's this?
Hey, name's Jeff from Jersey.
All right, Jeff, what's your big Christmas lie, my friend?
Well, I hope you like self-humiliating stories.
Do we?
Well, we're all about that.
I will certainly try and keep
we're all about self-defecation.
That wasn't that bad.
I know. But
my wife and I were doing what husband and wife do, and it had been a while, and so I finished, and she didn't realize it. So she decided she wanted to switch positions and make this a number, if you understand my meaning.
If I may just break in for a moment, what does this have to do with Christmas?
With what?
Christmas.
Oh, God, it's not a Christmas lie, but it's a good one.
It's a good lie?
All right, but still, I mean, we are doing the Christmas lie.
It is the Christmas lie. I mean... Ah, but Don, the Christmas lie was forgotten 18 contestants ago.
There you go.
People are now even forgetting that they have to tell lies.
this guy's just calling, what, to tell us a story about...
But he's just finished, and now his wife wants him to get into position. The that special number.
The bad place.
Right.
Exactly. So in order not to disappoint, I said okay. Meanwhile... If you can only imagine, while I'm down there, things are happening.
Oh,
I'm on the bottom.
I understand what he's saying down there.
Yeah. And it's
so
and
he finished down there, and then he had to go down there right after he finished.
It was
exactly. And I'm on the bottom, so things are starting to get a little wet. And I started losing interest, and I had to end up telling her, "Look, honey, this is not going to happen. I have a full bladder. Let me just go to the bathroom."
All right, bye bye.
That's the best Christmas story ever.
It didn't even have anything to do with Christmas. Didn't have any, and he told her.
Yeah.
It wasn't a, well, it's the no lie longer. Was what, he had a full bladder?
I guess.
A minor sexual problem?
Uh-huh. Don and Mike Show, hello.
Jesus.
Hi
hello?
There. Hi there. Hey, what's your name?
Christy.
Hi, where are you from, Christy?
Age 9.
I'm from Albuquerque.
You know, at this point, I would settle for one wise man. Just one.
We got it right here. All right, Christy, what's your lie, honey?
Well, my husband and I have been married 2 years, and
you have a little baby.
Yeah, I had a newborn actually.
Yeah, I can hear the baby.
Yeah, he's 2 months old. When we got married, I had two kids from a previous relationship, and he had a son. And his son was born with brain damage, and he's deaf. And our first Christmas married together, we'd only been married a month, and we really did not have very much money for our family. So, I was raised in the Mormon church, and I hadn't gone to church since I was a teenager, and, you know, really had, I guess, lost a lot of belief in them. So, I called the Mormon church here in Albuquerque and told them that our son had to have brain surgery for his brain damage. So, they actually donated a whole bunch of gifts, and I mean it actually kind of got a little bit out of hand because I really wasn't expecting them to do as much as they did.
So wait, hold on. So your kid does have brain damage or does not have brain damage?
He does have brain damage, yes.
Okay, all right.
He did not have to have surgery.
Well, why did they give you gifts?
Well, because we had told them that we had to, you know, spend all this money on the surgery and the medical treatment, so we didn't have money for Christmas for our kids.
How long ago was this?
This was the year before last.
All right, so where's
what's
the lie?
What's the stats, the limitation?
What's the lie? What's the lie, though? Because you got gifts from people, and your kid really did have a serious medical condition.
Well, yeah, he didn't have to have the surgery that we told him that we had to spend all the money on, so, you know, we didn't have money for Christmas, and that we were going to have to sell my husband's motorcycle in order to have Christmas for our kids, and we really didn't want to do that.
God forbid. So is the lie that you took money from people for an operation that your kid didn't need?
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, who did you call?
The church.
The church, the Mormon
the church.
The church. Yeah, no, who do we call to tell?
Well, you have to call the church.
Call the Mormon church.
Yeah.
Call Mitt Romney.
She wants us to do all the work.
I don't want to do it. Are you kidding?
No, actually, you would have to do it.
Yeah, you'd have to.
Oh, okay.
The way the game works is that we would call whatever church it is and tell them that you are on the phone, and then you would have to say, hey, my name is this lady, and my kid didn't have brain surgery, and I kept the money. How much money did you keep, incidentally?
Well, they had actually they paid our rent for us, because what it was is we told them that we had already spent all the money that we had.
What do you think the total was?
Gosh, it was probably $1,500 in gifts, and they actually for like a week had somebody every night from the church, a member of the church, bring dinner over and everything. So they really went all out.
Yeah. Very giving.
I would almost say I'd like to try to call the church and see if we could really get somebody on the phone from the church. Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear her say, my child didn't have the operation.
The child never had to have an operation.
We kept the money. What did you do with the money?
We spent it on Christmas. Is this
like a neighborhood story, or is this a story that would be known enough in the Albuquerque area that people would know this tale, maybe that it was picked up by somebody last year, like, oh, this little kid
newspaper
who needs brain surgery, and like look at the communities come together, or is this just...
I don't know. It's definitely known in the church, you know, and then, like, there's several different churches in the city, and I'm sure that, you know, they all know about it, and it was definitely...
What is the statute of limitations on it, and when does it stop becoming a felony? Well, you're laughing, but it is fraud. It's actually defrauding a
felonious fraud.
I mean, people have done what you've done before.
That's why I was asking if this was kind of a famous story in Albuquerque or not.
Yeah, if it's a big story, you know.
Either way, I love it. I love it.
I really didn't expect it to get as out of hand as it did. I mean, the bishop actually called, wanted to get they call him the high priest.
She's brilliant, isn't she?
To go and give
I love this
for him and everything.
She's just digging her own.
I had to get out of that because
no pun intended graveyard. I mean, my God.
I mean, it actually got really out of hand. I wasn't expecting it to go.
At any point, did you ever think when it started getting so out of hand, did you ever think, you know, we should just give some of this stuff back and tell people to stop being so generous?
Well, yeah, but I didn't.
You know, in order to collect the money, you would have to call someone at the church and tell them about your fraud.
If you're willing to do that,
do you think that $1,000 on this contest is worth? Perhaps, I mean, if they get serious
about it, don't talk
her
out of it, Mike.
I'll do it.
That's the spirit.
See, that's where I don't trust her.
Well, we could at least get the church on the phone.
Yeah, but I mean, who's to say she really did this?
Well, I would think. Here's the thing: like, if you were to call my church. They know my name.
Is this a specific church?
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm...
Do you attend this church?
Well, I don't attend this area. I was born and raised in the Mormon church, so...
No, wait a minute. Wait, hold on. Wait, I'm asking a specific question.
It's an important question.
Is this a specific church that you dealt with?
Yes.
And do you still attend this specific church?
No, I don't attend.
But see, what I'm saying is, if it's real, even if she doesn't attend, you would call a church, and no matter what the religion is, the rabbi, the priest, whatever, would certainly remember. Oh,
would they remember your name?
There was a kid with a brain problem last year.
Oh, I'm sure. If it's the same bishop there, which it should be, then I'm sure they would. Mm-hmm. So,
all right.
I mean, if
hold
not,
on, just hold on a second. We'll see if we can get the number. Hold on.
Wow.
That's a good one.
It's a good one, but it's also, I mean, I don't know.
Statute of limitations varies. It runs from 2 to 6 years, depending on the state, for fraud.
I mean, here's the thing. It's her ass.
Right.
Correct?
Exactly. I mean,
it's incredibly stupid that you would do that and, first off, call a radio show to say that anyway, because people might know who you are.
We have to find out if it's really her. She's a little vague. That's the thing that concerns me. I'm wondering whether she's really telling the truth here.
The only reason I think that she is that you hear this happening on such a larger scale with people.
Oh, I mean, you hear people all the time that are doing this type of
stories all the time, right? You hear people who are trying to flim-flam people out of money.
Flim-flam. I like that.
Once or twice a
year. The flim-flam man.
All right, well, we got to do a break.
Right.
We got to do a break.
Then usually during that break, different information comes to light.
So here's what we'll do. We'll find out if, in fact, she's got a name and a street address for this church.
Right.
For this Mormon church in Albuquerque.
Right. And maybe a name and a street address for her.
And we'll see if we can call and make something happen. And if not, this is all going to roll over to tomorrow's show.
Very good.
Right.
Okay.
It took 20 contestants.
But just in case.
It's Christy with the operation, the non-operation for the brain-damaged kid.
Let's keep her information on the line for everybody else that's listened to this entire mess today.
You know what I'm thinking? Are you ready for a real interesting twist?
Yes, sir.
I don't doubt that maybe they've got a brain-damaged kid. And I don't doubt that maybe they said they had a brain-damaged kid to the church.
No, he's not retarded.
Here's the real horrible thing. I think she might be lying about lying to the church. She might be lying to us to get another $1,000. I think she might have just gone to the church and said, we've got this kid that we need to support. I think she needs to be questioned more.
Then she's the perfect contestant, isn't she?
She's the flawless contestant. Something's going on. There's more to this than meets the eye.
Okay, we got a break. We're going to find out information about this lady. Now, if you have been listening to the whole show today, on top of the $1,000 that we may or may not give to this lady, caller number 100 right now at 877-365-3636. One question about something that happened early in today's show to a random caller, $1,000 to that person.
Very good.
If they get the question right.
Serious money.
And if this lady gives us the name of the church and we call the church and she rats herself out, she gets $1,000.
Wow. And she better give it to the church.
Mm-hmm. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
I only wish we had the time.
They race to the funny. Don and Mike.
Buzz's suit today. And his news that we unfortunately did not get to. Brought to you by Mervis Diamond Importers, eDiamonds.com. Find a little brilliance. A pair of diamond stud earrings, eDiamond.com. www.e-diamonds.com. A long distance. Call 1-800-HER-LOVE.
Well, it got hairy at the end, didn't it?
Sure did.
Here's the deal with the big lie for Christmas.
All right.
This lady in Albuquerque maintains she's on the level.
Right.
We've got the number of the church in Albuquerque. We are running out of time today.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, are you still there, lady?
Yes.
Hi there.
Hey.
We are going to be contacting you to be on our show as soon as we go on the air tomorrow. Now, what time is it in Albuquerque now?
It's 4:48.
All right, so they're 2 hours ahead of us. That means, what time is the show on there, for God's sakes? If it's 2 hours, so we're on from
1 o'clock?
Yeah. 1 o'clock till 5 o'clock.
1 o'clock on.
Right,
Tomorrow at 1 o'clock, when we start our show in Albuquerque, you're going to be on, and we're going to call the church, and we're going to see if your story is true.
Okay.
And you'll have a chance.
You think we'll be able to find out if your story is true by calling the church there, Christy?
You should be able to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I am assuming that they keep stuff like that on file, so.
And you still have this child?
Oh, yeah.
You haven't gotten divorced or anything like that?
No.
And how is the child's brain?
He's okay. It's, you know, it's a brain damage that, I mean, it'll never go away. It's called leukomalacia, and, you know, something he'll have forever, but he's doing good.
So you have a handicapped child in a way. So, I mean, it was, you were getting help from the church, but the operation part was a lie.
You lied about it.
Right.
Right.
All right. Well, listen, it was nice talking to you today. We'll talk to you at the beginning of tomorrow's show.
Yeah. Have a nice sleep.
Okay.
All right. You too.
Okay. Talk to you tomorrow.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
I don't know what to say. It's tough to figure out, isn't it?
She'll be waiting.
I'm coming to work tomorrow. We'll do it right. I mean, right after the opening of the show tomorrow. Right.
Find out exactly what the deal is. Hopefully, we get somebody on the other end that can confirm her story.
And now, simply because we didn't have enough time to get a winner today, this thing was growing hair on the show for 2 hours. Let's see if we can give away $500 to someone who's listened to the whole show.
Very good.
The entire Cotton Pickin' Show. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
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 What's your name? Hello. Any idea? What's your name?
Jen.
Jen?
Yeah, J-A-N.
Jan.
Jan.
Jan, have you been listening to the whole show?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound enthusiastic, Jan. But we're running out of time.
Well, I get in and out of the car because I'm at work.
In and out a lot.
Okay, well, Jan, I would tell you, we have $500 that we'd like to give to someone who has listened to the whole show today. Do you think that you're up to the challenge, or should we move on?
I'm up to the challenge.
All right.
Up to the challenge. Mm-hmm. Okay. When we started the show today at 3 o'clock East Coast time, who's the celebrity that we said had a heart attack?
Alex Trebek.
You're the winner. Yeah. That was a softball, and you hit it out of the park. Way to go, Jan.
That is a surprise.
$500 for you.
Cool.
Go buy a personality, my friend.
Jan. Tired Jan.
Thank you, Jan.
All right.
How about thank you?
Thank you, guys. You're welcome. Love you guys.
Thank you, Jan. We just need a little love.
Sorry about that thing with your mom.
Sorry about Christy.
With your mom saying that you did that brain operation. All right, dude, you scored the $500, and we thank you.
Good job, Jan.
All right, thanks, guys.
Please, duh. Tomorrow we'll talk to the lady from Albuquerque.
Amen.
We'll roll over the $1,000.
She's a Mormon, you know.
And we'll play another one of our reindeer games tomorrow as well.
Very good.
Buzz?
Yes.
I feel awful. You look so handsome in your newsman clothes today.
All dressed up and nowhere to go.
All tie rule tomorrow. All ties.
Everybody in ties.
No time for the news. Do you have a funny, a kicker, something for us?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do.
Lay it on us, please.
If you found a condom in your Whopper, wouldn't it have to be a Magnum? A 24-year-old Van Hartless of Fairhaven, Vermont, says he tasted something rubbery and sour in his Southwestern Whopper sandwich. Quoting Van, I immediately spit it out and ran to the bathroom to vomit. Since then, he says he and his medical insurance company have spent hundreds of dollars on tests to make sure he didn't catch anything.
Oh, my.
Plus, there's the pain and suffering.
Did you wash your ass today?
Van's now suing the king for unspecified damages.
Ew.
The condom was allegedly discovered after an argument with the staff over jalapenos. That's not a jalapeno.
Oh, I'm queasy. Oh,
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Hey.
Hats off to Buzz.
Yes. He reached right into his valise and he pulled it right out.
That's right.
That cat's got 15 seconds to do the news and immediately it's a story about a condom on a Whopper.
He's consistent.
I know what you like.
All right, tomorrow, let me see. The lady with the kid and the brain and
And the church
and Mormons and wow. We'll see you then. Good day to you, sir.
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 Head.
Hold the condoms, hold the lettuce. Special orders don't upset us.
This tastes like rubber. And it's sour.
This is the Don and Mike Show.